Yes, indeed, it's the Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brad Bishop, your host. For today, all the big top five movies we're looking forward to in the fall, the fall preview, top five movies most excited to see this fall slash winter. Big fall preview.
It's true. It is. It's the one of the biggest ones that we do each year.
I say big, Anderson. How many movies do you have for your top five? You're doing a lot of counting for what should be a
Hold on.
Starts or ends with five.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Okay, cool. Bad times. 15.
Oh, not bad. It,
no, wait, 16. 16.
Keeping it light.
16. Keeping it light, yeah. And it was almost 18, but a couple of those
movies
I've already talked about because they come out in September, and I've already seen parts or all of them. So, yeah, you know what? I don't want to say nervous. Honestly, what I do is any movie that piques my interest at all, I will highlight, and then I'll come back to, and then I call from there. But I tend to be a little bit liberal with letting ones in because the last thing I want to do is omit one from my list, and then it becomes like, you know, a huge surprise hit. Ultimately, every single year we do this exercise.
You're hedging your bets.
A little bit. Every year we do this, though, like, you know, there's a giant sleeper pick that is not on either one of our lists.
There's plenty of movies that we never see coming.
However, I've read about every single one of these movies.
Really?
Every single one. And it's interesting, too, because, like, September, a shit ton of film dumping going on, all sorts of movies. And then October, same thing. There's, like, I don't know, maybe 60 movies coming out in October being released. Then November, it gets much leaner. And then by the time it's December, there's I think there's like 20 movies coming out in all of December. Maybe
Prestige pictures.
Oh, and some of them look brutal.
Oh, boy.
Some of them look brutal.
There is homework on the horizon.
Speaking of homework, this episode is always, it's enjoyable going through and reading about these movies, but it is homework. I mean, there's a ton of research. I was doing it when I was in Phoenix in the hotel room. I was doing it in the airport. I was doing it every chance I got, Brian.
Speaking of which.
Yes.
How was Phoenix?
Phoenix was great. People in Phoenix are fantastic. And
people came out despite the NFL football that was being
It wasn't the best timing because it actually the screening began when the Cardinals were kicking off in town. Yeah. So I probably missed a lot of my NFL people, but I know some people like Mark was an NFL guy and he used his DVR. So that's what he did. He came out and it was one of the smaller screenings for sure. But I got by far more emails the following day from the people that did come to let me know what they thought of the movie than all the other screenings, like by far and away.
Restraining orders and like to be hearing from my lawyer.
No,
kind of
no, it was like movie was great. Thanks for coming to Phoenix.
That makes that
kind
more
of
sense,
thing.
Actually.
And
glad.
They made up for the small number too with a lot of merch buy-in. So it was a fantastic time.
Excellent.
Thank you, Phoenix.
How did Corona do?
Corona did great. It was great having Mike out there. Yeah, Mike Corona was out there, and we hung out. Yes, he drove. All right, bigger news, exciting news.
Ooh.
Oh, this is brand new news too. Philadelphia just got added. It's official.
It's
happening. It up on the site today. I will be contacting everyone in the Philadelphia area and surrounding area that have already given to the project that have a screener, a ticket to an early screening coming to you. I will be getting a hold of you guys in the next couple, hopefully by the time you hear this. But Philadelphia is a go. We'll be at the Regal Commonwealth 10 Cinema or something, or Meeting Cinema Plymouth. I don't know. It's on the website, AndersonCowan.com. It's a Saturday, October 13th. October 13th, 5 p.m. I am doing the early screening at 4 p.m. with the you get the shirt and you get to see some of the shorts and you get early access to the theater. This is a legit big time nice theater.
One night of the week.
It's a Saturday night, 5 o'clock. Now these tickets are going to go quick because A, it's a metropolis and there's all sorts of surrounding cities. And B, I'm not the only one behind this. I got one of my actors is from this Philadelphia area, and that's kind of how it all came together.
Nice.
So I'm probably going to be moving about half the tickets, and the other half are going to be moved by him quickly. So I'm thinking this thing's probably going to have a pretty nice turnout. And I'm excited, even though I'm taking a red eye to get there, and then I'm flying out the very next day, and then I'm going to be in Boston. I leave for Boston like 2 days after I get back home. It's kind of ridiculous.
It doesn't work out very
But well. I have a kid, and I can't just...
You're leaving for Boston in the middle of the week?
Yeah. Because I'm making a vacation out of it with the wife. Because I haven't taken Atticus and Jillian anywhere all summer long. So, yeah, I'm taking everybody. We're going to spend 5 days in Boston.
It's a long flight.
It is. I know.
With a little boy.
And I'm going to be almost making that exact same flight the week before to Philly. Just a couple days before. Also, the Philadelphia thing. I took a lot of heat, guys, from the wife for agreeing to this. And she's like, just don't. You don't have to go. You just, you know, have your movie screened there and you just don't go. I'm like, no, honey, I can't do that. the reason why she was annoyed is it is our anniversary that I'm I'm fleeing from her. I literally leave 4 hours before our anniversary and I get
October
back like
12?
13th.
13th, that's right.
And I get back 8 hours after our anniversary is completed. So I'm ditching her for our anniversary. So I really hope this turns out to be a success.
It better be.
So yes.
Send her flowers.
Groupers in Philly, guys. Excited. And then final bit of business as far as my side of things goes. I'm also skint. I'm running skint on the grouper shirts. Need to make a new purchase order. I'm doing pre...
What does skint mean?
It means it's from the book that I'm reading. It means you don't have much money. It means you don't have much left of anything. And I have very few groupers.
Supply is left.
Supply is
low. Yeah.
Yes. Skint, Brian. Oh. So if you would like a grouper shirt, one of the official grouper shirts with the logo on the front, sight unseen. If you've not seen the movie, but you want to get in on this, I would love to have you in on it. The shirts will be going for $25 and you will get them probably hopefully by the end of the month. And I'm doing a 2-week pre-sale like we did with the film ball shirt.
That's right.
Because I need to order some more and I thought I'd be smart because I'm skint myself and I can't place it. Well, I could on a credit card, but I'd rather not do that. Sure. And I don't want to get the wrong sizes. So if you guys want shirts, go over to AndersonCowan.com and you'll see what they look like, as well as the Philly and Boston and Santa Ana screenings. Thank you very much. And now let's get to the program.
Let's do it. Let's confess the flicks we've seen.
Wait,
in the past.
No, there's more to talk about.
Oh boy.
Though.
Oh boy. What is it?
Murder Party.
Okay.
Is on Fuckflix. So there, those of you who have not seen Jeremy Saulnier's full catalog, he's the guy who, of course, did Blue Ruin and Green Room.
You can skip Murder Party.
Did you see it?
Yes.
And you didn't enjoy it?
It's pretty good.
There's something wrong with you.
I'm trying to get your goat.
It's very different, and it's a much lighter movie, even though it is a slasher film, but it's funny as fuck, and he really attacks like the hipster art douchebags in that part of the country, like the back east people. The trust fund kids that go to like art school, and just he really punishes those people.
He lays into them,
and it's funny.
He lampoons them.
And Macon Blair is the star of that one as well. So if you have not seen it yet, you've been putting it off because it has not been available. Do yourself a favor and watch Murder Party. It goes down smooth. It's an enjoyable watch. Murder Party on Fuckflix.
I will say a lot of nice things about Murder Party, but I don't know if it goes down smooth.
It goes down smooth.
It's a little rough around the edges.
It's fun. It's very enjoyable.
Right.
It's not a challenge. It's not a challenge.
You're right. It's not homework.
No. Like as soon as you start watching it, you're engaged. It's got great cinematography from the get go. With the remember the invitation is floating.
That's right.
The premise is a guy who doesn't really have any friends, and he kind of, I think he lives with his cat by himself at his house, and he's lonely. He's an introvert. Macon Blair is the actor, and he comes across this little invitation. It's just like in the breeze on the street.
It's a flyer,
and it's a invitation to a party, a Halloween party. So he makes a little costume out of cardboard boxes. He's like Sir Lancelot, I think, and he shows up to this party, and shit ensues, and most of it takes place in one little location. So I really like that Murder Party. Enjoy.
There you go.
Also,
what's that?
Leroy Jenkins.
Oh yes.
We realized that we fucked up last week. When I say we, I mean Logan. It was not on the track, and Logan did fix it early morning, though, to his credit.
Who's Logan?
But all of you who are like faithful listeners who listen to it as soon as it gets downloaded or very soon thereafter, sorry about that, guys. But Logan,
that's what
was
you get
on top
for being
of it.
So eager.
More importantly, it has been pointed out to me that Leroy Jenkins, of course, that meme that came about in 2005 is when it was first released, was a hoax. It was not real, and that hurts me. It makes me very sad. I'm not going to try and pretend
I choose to live in a world where it's real.
Thought that it was real for, I mean, I thought that it was fake for a second. It never even occurred to me that someone would waste their time to that extent. And I always wondered why he never got a web redemption from Daniel Tosh. And there's my answer. So, okay. Thank you for letting me know, everybody, that that is fake. That's sad to me.
I ignore all that.
And I think I might go Brian's route and live in a world.
You're old boy. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to know what happened.
Kind of like Julie Chen's probably like, you know, spending her time in the Big Brother house as much as she possibly can these days. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know that Les Moonves is Les Moonves.
Wow, that's a deep pull, man.
Oh, I'd say they were talking about it on Stern, but it's a great point. She probably just feels like glorious over at the Big Brother house. Like she lives in that world where it's a different alternate universe because they're sequestered. They can't see that Les Moonves is allegedly shoving his member into people's mouths.
Yes, fortunately.
Prison style.
To pay him favors.
Julie Chen, she interviewed me once.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I cried. Like a little pav.
Why on earth would she do that?
It's a long story. I'll talk about it in the After Disaster. Finally, Brian. This hurts me that I didn't pick up on this at the time that it happened last week. Okay. Couple listeners in person in Phoenix wanted to talk to me about it. And I did get only one email about it. But it's important.
Okay.
It's Casablanca.
Yep.
You enjoyed it?
I did.
Had you seen it before?
I told the whole story where I saw. Yeah.
So I refresh my memory.
I told the whole story where I saw it on Valentine's Day, right? But remember, I saw it at CineSpace, and the center speaker was broken out. And we were sitting right underneath
the center speaker.
Yeah. So it was all distorted.
So you didn't really see it then?
No, not really.
Yeah. So you got to see it again.
Well, I don't know if I mean, you tell me. I could not describe accurately the plot of the movie.
I'll tell you.
What's that?
Serbian film.
Right. Oh, without the sound? Yeah. I did see it with sound.
You saw Casablanca with sound. It was missing a center speaker, so the dialogue was a little bit garbled. You watched a Serbian film, Brian. You'd be shocked. Maybe you want to be. How many of our listeners are pained by the fact that you have not actually watched a Serbian film?
You know what?
I
would be. If the number's greater than zero, I would be
shocked.
It's
a lot greater than zero. Wow. I get emails on this on the regular, Brian. Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? That should...
You say that you have not seen Casablanca because the center speaker was out, so you had to see it again, there's no way you saw a Serbian film when you watched it with two competing dialogues that were... Neither one of them were in English.
It's true.
Two competing languages.
If it doesn't surprise you that people have the time to waste to email you about this, it should not surprise you that people have the time to waste to create a fake Leroy Jenkins.
I saw where you're going with that right when you
spoke. So you should not be surprised.
It's while they're listening to the program and they might be in their cubicle or working their job. Or
in person.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A couple people in Phoenix said, hey, you got to talk to Brian about this.
If you would love to waste my time.
It's a great point, though.
If you'd love to waste my time again, I'm...
Just watch the fucking movie.
Where does it rank on the AFI's top 100?
What's that?
A Serbian film.
Oh, is that what's you only watch movies that are like highly ranked?
There's certain films that I feel like I need to revisit for credibility's sake.
I'll tell you this much. As far as credibility goes, I will 100% tell you that a Serbian film has more stick-to-itiveness or value or long-term memory in my mind than Casablanca could.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
There are more images that have haunted me from Serbian film than will probably haunt me from Casablanca.
I can't imagine there being a single frame that haunts you in Casablanca.
My point exactly.
Speaking of which,
Anderson, there's still not a lot in the theaters that intrigues me these days.
This would be a perfect segue.
So you know what I saw?
You're not going to do it.
A Serbian film?
No, you did not. You fucker. You had me excited for a second.
But I'm going to amuse you by going, what can you imagine being as far away from a Serbian film as possible?
Mary Poppins.
I saw a film. I used my Filmstruck account. And I'm working my way down the AFI top 100 list.
Oh, bribe.
I got to number
five. Wait, you're going down? You got to go up.
100 to 1, not 1 to 100?
Yeah. Gets better as you go.
Oh,
you start with the homework.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. I have cancer.
Brian,
I'm never going to make it to the end of the list.
Come on, dude. Don't pull that card. No one likes that card.
That was a humorous card. So.
Wait, the 100, when I watched it, was the Yankee, the damn Yankees? Or
no, that's not. That's
that
not
was 100 when I watched it.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Because I know they've updated, so that probably got bumped.
I started the other direction.
Duck Soup on there?
Probably.
Duck Soup's good.
Number 5 on the AFI top 100 list. I had not seen. I've been avoiding it for years, mostly because it seemed cheesy.
Mary Poppins.
I'm singing.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Goes down smooth.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great
singing
film.
Singing in the Rain, 1952. Co-directed by Gene Kelly and Stanley Donen. Donen?
Forever marred, though, with the memories and the thoughts of A Clockwork Orange rape scene while watching.
It's hard to separate the two. Gene Kelly stars, of course, Debbie Reynolds and Donald O'Connor. Time has not been kind to Donald O'Connor. He was a goddamn delight. I enjoyed him so much as the sidekick. Should be on top 5 sidekicks. We did that a few years ago. 100% of Rotten Tomatoes. I should not surprise you. Number 5 on AFI's top 100 list. The 5th. Surprise me that they would put it that high. It hasn't aged in the sense that it did feel a little misogynistic at times, especially with the way they treated the sort of de facto villain towards the end. But I quibble. This is a wonderful movie. It's a period piece. Speaking of going down smooth, it's a period piece, right? It's made in 1952, but it's set in 1927. It's very adds a lot of context for me to the artist, which I saw but had not seen this. And it's in the same period where the motion pictures are making the transition from silent films to talkies, right? Mm-hmm. And Gene Kelly plays this Don Lockwood. Mm. And he's like the silent film star. He's a vaudeville star. Silent film star. How dare you? Silent film star. And then he goes on to like, you know, be a huge Hollywood star. And as they're transitioning to talkies, he's good. Great luck. He can sing, he can dance, he can do it all. But his co-star has a horrible voice, a shrill voice, a very what's your face from the Woody Allen movie, from Mighty Aphrodite?
Mira Sorvino
from Mighty Aphrodite. Think of a grating voice. Mm-hmm. So they have a Cyrano de Bergerac situation with Debbie Reynolds. It was the voice of an angel. The voice of an angel. People don't like when I whisper so
loud. Yeah, he said voice of an angel is what he said. Who's the woman that was the nanny? That'd be a better example.
There's no nanny.
The nanny, the TV show.
Oh, Fran Drescher. Yeah, yeah.
Her voice.
So going back at old lists, it occurred to me that I was remiss not to include this on top five movies about movies. This is, of course, about the movie industry. Almost the entire third act is told, not the third act, but a big chunk of the third act is told as a story within a story. Remember, he's like, it's actually really artfully done. It's really well directed. They're like, oh, here's how he's describing this movie that they're in the process of making to the studio head. He's like, here's how I see it. But they're in the middle of making it, right? He's like, here's how I see it ending with this big production. And all of a sudden we go into the guy's head to his description and we see his description acted mm-hmm. out on the screen, but it's done as a silent movie, which is ironic because they're making the transition to talkies. It's really well done. I was very impressed. Loved Cosmo Brown, the Donald O'Connor character. Gene Kelly was tremendously athletic, and maybe that sounds very silly, people who know this, but like I always thought of him just like a tap dancer or whatever he did. The guy's a great athlete. He probably could have been a gymnast, like
tennis player.
Yeah, any number of athletics that require that kind of movement and skill.
Inside linebacker for the Raiders.
I mean, he's pretty short, actually. Oh, okay. Probably would have been more of a cornerback.
Listen, it's one of those movies where I can't speak for Brian, but while I was watching it, you know, there were a couple times where I got some tears in my eyes just because of the glory of
the majesty of the the production.
And I'm all the while I'm thinking like you're not built to enjoy this, Anderson. Right. What's wrong with you? But you just can't help it because it is that good. And you know, you watch a movie like La La Land, and it's paying homage to movies like this.
There were plenty of times where I was like, oh, I appreciate, The Artist was a great example. Oh, I appreciate this movie a little more now, having finally seen this.
And don't be surprised that this is very high on the list. I don't know if you've seen a collection of those who compile this list, the AFI mm-hmm. Top 100 list, Brian, but they're all like edging towards their graves, have jowls and are white. And they're living in the past, man. They're living on member berries. And this is definitely right up their alley.
This is definitely of a bygone era. I don't know if they did the list again. They seem to update it every few years.
I think every 10.
Whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. I could definitely see this time not being kind to this one just because of like I said, the people aging out of the voting block. Mm. But that said, delightful. I'm glad I saw it on, like I said, streaming on Filmstruck, if you're so inclined.
All right, dude, if you're getting some kind of side deal on Filmstruck, this show's done.
No, we are. This is 100% legitimate.
I saw a film.
100% legit. Above board.
What's that?
Above board.
He said William Ford. Above board. Like, the mouse died.
Dying.
I saw a film.
Yeah, what's that?
I was kind of excited about this film. Actually, it was on my most anticipated list somewhere along the line. And I'd been reading about it for a while, and the trailer made me wonder if it was going to be all tone and atmosphere.
The Snowman.
The Little Stranger.
It was The Little Stranger.
And no one even knows what it is.
I don't know what this is.
This is a film directed by Lenny Abramson. It's in theaters now. Of course, Lenny Abramson directed a movie called Frank and Room. Those are the last two movies that he directed. Frank, which was I think it might have been my favorite film of the year a couple years ago. And Room, a couple years ago, it was also a fantastic movie. Top five for sure for me. I was very excited.
Oh, he's in theaters now.
Yeah, in theaters now. The Little Stranger. This is starring Domhnall Gleeson, Will Poulter, and Charlotte Rampling, who is always great. She's just fantastic. Will Poulter, I hope I'm saying his name right. You might recognize him. He's the kid. He's in The Revenant. He's in We're the Millers. He's in Detroit. He's the film Detroit. He's the very, very sideways, dirty, racist cop who's a younger looking guy.
Did not see Detroit. You didn't give it a glowing review.
Revenant. No, it's not a great movie. Look at, do you recognize that guy's
face?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's, yeah, like you said, the kid from, the fuck is he?
Revenant. The Revenant.
Yes.
He's in The Revenant, Brian. He's also in Little Strangers. He's also in Maze Runner. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about this movie. I'm going to
spend some time.
I'm just going to urge you to miss this movie.
Oh,
what I was starting to say was,
no.
Will Poulter. He was one of the most impressive things in the movie because he was playing like an old man character.
I remember from We're the Millers.
Burn victim. Like he was like, obviously from the war, he was a product of the war and he was a vet and he had burns all over his body. And he was playing like an old, like John Hurt character almost. Mm. And I was actually buying it. And I remember talking, I believe it was Mark in Phoenix. We did a lot of movie talking. About a dozen of us went to a gay bar and restaurant after a groupers in Phoenix. It was delightful. It was fantastic. We all had a few drinks and caught up and talked movies. And I was talking to, I believe it was Mark, and he was talking about how this character was the worst for him in the movie. So not everyone's going to agree, obviously, but that was the only impressive thing that I gleaned from The Little Stranger. It's the worst movie I've seen probably since Lincoln. I haven't had a worse time in a theater since Lincoln. I could not wait for this to end. It's based on a book. And maybe it's a fine read and there's a lot going on like in between the lines, but
58% of Rotten Tomatoes.
The story, that's way too high. The story is, I mean, it looks fine. It's like a well-crafted film.
Have you seen Where the Millers?
Yeah.
So I have to sign it to you then.
Yeah, that's right. Donald Gleason, he
not a bad movie.
When he was a child, he used to pass this manor, like this mansion, and like he was kind of obsessed with it. And then he ended up like becoming a doctor and he would go and he would,
We can end this right now. It's the worst movie you've seen in years.
I know, but I just want to give a little background.
Okay.
And he goes into the house and he's the doctor and he just kind of like Donald Gleason with zero affect throughout the entire movie, just kind of staring longingly at the house, talking about how he's always wanted to be inside and there he is. And then there's like a little girl who used to be there that he saw at a fair once and on the property grounds or something. And she died and she's like haunting the house, but there's no fear. There's no intrigue. It's just fucking blah, blah, blah. Brian, as I'm watching the movie, like I lost my short-term memory.
Oh no.
Like I couldn't remember what the last scene was because it was so unmemorable and so...
How long is it?
Way too long, Brian. I dislike this film with a lot of passion.
I will not be seeing this.
Can't wait to assign it to you.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
No, this is a terrible... I hate saying terrible movies because like the acting's solid.
Like it.
The cinematography's fine.
It's just short of 2 hours.
And it just goes on and on and on and nothing memorable happens. Like literally, I'm like, what just happened? I don't remember. Like as it was going in my one retina, it was just escaping out the other one.
It couldn't get out fast enough.
Like I had my phone open. I should also say this. The only person in the theater. Only a Saturday night. Only person. I was in Phoenix.
That's unfortunate.
I was in Phoenix where people go see movies because it was 135 degrees when I was there. 108.
At that point, what's the difference?
It was hotter when I was leaving the theater at like 7:30 at night because I was walking on the pavement. I was walking on the pavement and the heat was coming up.
Brutal.
Oh, yeah. So it's just not good. The only person in the theater, Brian. It's been a while. Oh, yeah. So what I was saying is I had my phone open,
right,
ready to take notes. And I'm like, there's not even anything like bad enough to take notes.
That's
like,
the worst.
My notes would just be blah, blah. Yeah. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Blah. The trailer makes it look brilliant compared to what the movie actually is. I just don't know how do you spend so much time like editing? Like, these movies, they take like a full year of your life where you just have to be obsessed and staring.
And no one's tapping you on the shoulder, I mean, like,
or you're not tapping yourself on the shoulder saying, this is fucking, how could you not be bored working on this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that the people that were editing Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise doing his actual stunts were bored after a while. How do you not get bored with...
Who can you envision being legitimately excited about this movie? Like, legitimately enjoying it?
People in my life that you would also know.
Well, the type of person I meant.
Scholarly fella who likes the book and might be a teacher. And might make his, like, poor students suffer through it as he's trying to weed them out to try and figure out who actually has the stick-to-itiveness once again to actually sit through movies like this. They would show movies that were duller than this in film school all time. And yeah. I feel like it was just to fuck with us. I remember while we were watching one movie, it was a French film. I can't even remember which one. And some guy in the back of the classroom, he just said, I just can't do it anymore. And he just fucking, he left and he never came back. He just dropped out of the entire program.
That was the show that was, yeah,
that was his breaking
point. That's amazing.
It was pretty good. What if he went on to do something really hard, like be
a
doctor?
That's Jeremy Sawyer.
Or something like fantastic. Yeah. Well, I guess being a doctor is pretty good. Yeah. All right. So that's my movie. I'm sorry. I spent so much time on it. The little strange. No one's even heard of it. So this is like a disservice. Taking up time on the program. But if it, avoid at all costs. If it's free on Netflix and like your girlfriend or wife or husband really wants to watch it.
Don't.
And they're offering like sexual favors. Still don't.
If Les Moonves comes to you and says, I want one thing and one thing only. Mm-hmm. I want you to watch A Little Stranger and blow me.
Why? How does that tie in?
I don't know.
What are you doing with Les Moonves?
I'm trying to imagine a scenario.
There's no scenario where you should watch this movie. There's really no scenario. Oh, you know what it is? What? Here's a good one. Like if you have 2 hours left to live and you want it to go as long as possible.
You want it to feel like days.
Yeah. Watch this movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a very common.
Like have it like if you're on death row and watch it during your last meal.
Your last meal.
Yeah.
It'll feel like, you at a certain point, you'll be pushing yourself away from the table.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm done.
Yeah. Let's just get this. Let's get the IVs going, guys.
I saw a film. I was assigned a film.
Can't remember.
On the of course you can't because you didn't assign it to me. We tied last week.
Oh yeah, I forgot to assign Anderson a movie.
You never assigned him a movie?
I totally forgot.
I told you I probably wouldn't be able to watch it anyway. It
feels like something should have been addressed in the moments following our show.
We're busy.
I wasn't too busy to watch Better Luck Tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Better Luck Tomorrow.
It's been years since I've seen this, so this will be new to me.
2002, directed by Justin Lin, who went on to direct Fast and Furious 3 through 6.
Mm-hmm. Is that a little bit of a Fast and Furious vibe?
At times. Yes, at times.
The poster definitely does.
Perry Shin, Jason Tobin, Sung Kong, Roger Fan, Karen, Anna Chung, and John Cho star in Better Luck Tomorrow. 81% Rotten Tomatoes. Logan, probably the best film you assigned to me. Thank you for assigning me this. I didn't like it. At times, so like you said, Anderson, it's got a Fast and Furious vibe to it at times. At times, it's very slick. At certain times, it's a very independent feeling. Do you remember? How well do you remember this movie?
Not really well. I remember really liking it at the time. I saw it in the theaters, and I remember I liked all of the characters, and I liked some of the action sequences as well.
Action is a very broad term in this sense.
Well, it moved. Like it wasn't all just talking. It wasn't like a Kevin Smith movie. It wasn't a talking movie, but it felt like it had the same sensibilities as far as the independent vibe.
So if you don't know, Better Luck Tomorrow is about a couple of Asian kids growing up. Did they ever say they were in Orange County, or it seemed very
somewhere
Orange
Southern
County.
California?
Yeah, it's like Orange County, San Diego.
Okay, it's kind of a Southern California vibe. I don't think it's ever named, but it's a couple of Asian kids, and the one of them, the main character, the Perry Shin character, he's an achiever. He's worried about his college admissions, his college applications. He's a high school student, so he's in all these clubs and activities and stuff, and it deals with him and his sort of Asian friends as they navigate the high school waters, and then they get involved in some nefarious activities. I'll leave it at that. This was famous at the time, and I feel like it's come back around because I saw this clip pop up on Twitter recently, because Roger Ebert was famously, I think he saw, I forget if it was at Sundance or where it was, but he saw this film at the premiere in the audience. Like he's in the audience at the premiere of this movie, and Justin Lin's doing a Q&A afterwards, right? The then unknown Justin Lin. And someone asked a question. They said, what do you feel responsible, or why did you, I forget how they phrased it, but it was basically, why did you cast, because he's Asian, right? Of course, Justin Lin. Mm-hmm. Why did you cast Asian actors in such a negative light? And Roger Ebert stood up. This is Roger Ebert pretty much at the height of his powers, 2002. I mean, he's a very well-known and respected guy at this point who can still speak. And he says, what I find offensive and condescending about your question, I'm paraphrasing here, is that he should have some responsibility to portray them in any way. Like if it was Martin Scorsese or any white, director, you wouldn't say,
a bad example. Cause a lot of people have said, why do you always show Italians?
Okay.
Such
he didn't
a poor
say
light.
Scorsese, but he said a white director. If you're a white director, why do you feel the need to portray white people in a positive light? Like they're three dimensional people, they're characters.
Was Lin like, can I answer the question, please, sir?
He just jumped right in.
I can't imagine him doing that. He was kind of a shy guy.
I think Justin Lin was stammering at the time, and Roger Ebert was sort of a young filmmakers. And he's basically said these are three-dimensional characters that are allowed to be good, bad, or somewhere in between, mm-hmm. like most people. You know, there are some people who are, you have elements.
Who would ask
of good
that
bad.
Question? What kind of a
exactly?
Fucking
that's a very. I found that question pretty
especially back then. Like they were ahead of their time because I mean now I could see that question definitely
right.
making its way immediately.
Well, the kids in this movie do bad things. They're not portrayed in the best light, but they're characters and they're allowed to be good or bad or whatever. The best friend is a loose cannon coming off the heels of our loose cannons. I thought of him.
Was it an enjoyable film?
It was an enjoyable film. At one point, he's talking about the main character's narrating about some that went down at school, some nefarious activity. He said, rumors came fast and furious. Justin Lin went on to direct Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm. What about that,
bro? MC Hammer is credited as a producer. Did you know that?
I did not know
because
that.
Because in a desperate moment of need towards the end of the film, they needed more money. Justin Lin ran out of money, and he called MC Hammer sort of out of the blue because MC Hammer, he had heard, read the script early on and enjoyed it. And within 2 days, he apparently, or within 2 hours, apparently he wired him the money.
That's a cocaine move right there. Because I don't know if that's very impulsive.
Has he produced other movies? That's not MC Hammer at the top of his, you know, financial game.
Has he produced other films, though? Like
Justin
MC
Lin? Oh, MC Hammer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that. I enjoyed this very much. It's streaming on HBO. If you have HBO Go or HBO Now or any of those, you can watch it. If you have not seen Better Luck Tomorrow, enjoyable. Thank you, Logan, for assigning me Better Luck Tomorrow.
I was assigned a film.
Enough of the fucking Asians now.
All right. Yeah, but if you are not feeling that way that Brian the racist is feeling, and you just watch Crazy Rich Asians, and maybe you watch a little Searching, and you just have some, you need some more Asians.
That's right.
Go back. Better Luck Tomorrow.
If you can't get enough.
Good movie.
It's a good movie.
It is kind of a nice contrast to watch that against Crazy Rich Asians because Crazy Rich Asians is about like you know lightheartedness,
opulence, and yeah, it's a rom com essentially.
And then you go to Better Luck Tomorrow, and you get more of a crime. Mystery.
It's a little Coen Brothers-y. I mean, not in the style, but in the tone.
Sure.
Not in the tone, in the character. The characters reminded me of, you know, they don't think things through. They do bad things and things get worse. It reminded me a little bit of that.
I was assigned a film. Mm. Believe it or not, I'm still paying off.
This better be John Cho in Columbus.
Settle down. Calm down. Did you get injected today?
Only with H2O.
Because you're quite hopping all over the place.
I know. I'm excited to see you.
Settle down. I saw a film. I was assigned a film by Tina Elsner. If you recall, when raising the cash for the groupers over there, one of them was assigned a film to me to Flick Fest. And this is my third to last antepenultimate is second to last. Super
no,
anti.
The penultimate would be second to last.
Oh, so this is antepenultimate, which is my third to last. And last time we talked about penultimate and antepenultimate, people sent us a slew of emails and they were all wrong. So everyone settled down. This is my third to last. Tina Elsner. I still got Eric Holmes as well as one other one after that. But he never calls me back or never emails me back. Anyway, what do I do?
This is very, very behind the scenes.
So Tina Elsner, she assigned me a film called Picnic at Hanging Rock. Don't write that down.
I love that movie.
Because I watched that one. And I decided not to do that one. So I talked to Tina.
Did not enjoy.
It was a few months ago. I'm like, there's no value to this movie. And thank you for assigning it to me.
You just spent 10 minutes on The Little Stranger.
Thank you for assigning it to me. But I don't know how I'm going to sell this to the audience and the Film Vault audience. But then they were making like a TV miniseries out of Picnic at Hanging Rock. And still, nothing. No one didn't get any traction. So I said, let's do another one. So I watched another one for her. And I
what women want,
Miracle Mile, and boy, am I glad I did because it's in my blind spot, and I got a lot of movies in my blind spot. Not nearly as many as you, Bri. You're like the fucking dark side of the moon. But
I'll be watching Gone with the Wind later.
I had never heard of Miracle Mile, and I don't know why I had not. I'm sure it's come across. I've come across it in my research at least a couple of times.
Anthony Edwards,
1988, starring Anthony Edwards and a young Mari Winningham.
Mayor Winningham,
and John Agar. I know I shied away from that. This is Steve Yarnott. Steve Dar Yarnott. He wrote and directed. It's a quirky little film. There's a lot of like odd little things that you'll find in there. He also is the writer of Strange Brew, this guy, and Cherry 2000, wrote some of the X-Files. But Miracle Mile takes place, Brian,
89% of Rotten Tomatoes
on our Miracle Mile out here in LA, which houses the LACMA.
It's a famous stretch.
E Entertainment.
KLSX radio station.
The former KLSX radio station where Brian worked. Where this actually, we used to do the film vault
a version
before
of the show.
It was a podcast on the Miracle Mile. Yes, indeed.
Danny Bonaduce would occasionally guest.
Brad Tar Pits are right there on the Miracle Mile. Okay. It's literally a mile.
Peterson Automotive Museum.
Yes, it is. As well as a very famous diner that has been made famous from all the TV movie shoots that have gone on.
Have you ever eaten this?
I have not.
You know why?
Because it's closed.
It doesn't serve food
anymore.
It's not a restaurant.
It did for a long time, though.
Oh, really?
Is it still plastered with Bernie signs, though?
Last time I passed it, about a month ago.
Covered.
Because it was the Bernie Sanders LA
headquarters
really? For a while. So yeah, it has a bunch of really fun, cool Bernie paraphernalia and paint. Anyways, a lot of the movie takes place in Miracle Mile. Mm-hmm. This Miracle Mile movie. So it's a classic 1980s film in the sense that it's all about the impending doom of nuclear holocaust, right? Which was about every other movie I think back then.
That was a big theme.
And
Cold War, arms race.
You know, I was thinking about it though the other day. And I don't like war and I don't like death and Holocaust and all that. But you know, I'm against it as much as the next guy. But
you're against the Holocaust? Well, Logan, write that down.
I feel like we might need a World War III here soon just so we can get off the World War II movies. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
that's reasonable.
Imagine all the great World War III movies we could have. Yeah, and we could stop paying attention to the World War II movies if we had a World War III. You know what I'm saying? Like
Saving Private Cody.
I understand that it's kind of like a lot to give. Yep. But there's a lot to get.
You'd have to make hacking more interesting to watch because that's pretty much how the next World War is
going
to be fought.
Logan, don't ruin it, man. All right. So anyways, here's the story. So he's like dumb in love, Anthony Edwards, and he's supposed to have this date with this woman that he's like obsessed with. I believe they had a date at the La Brea Tar Pits it was a few weeks ago that I saw this, but here's how it goes down. Like he oversleeps over their date. Their date's going to be at that diner. It's a diner made famous by movies like American History X, like a phone call that he makes out in front of this diner. The scene in The Big Lebowski where Walter's talking about, you need a toe? I get you a toe. And then the waitress asks him to hold it down. And he says, I fought in Vietnam so I could talk about... That scene takes place in this diner, which is a very famous diner. And if you're ever in LA,
it's like every diner you've ever seen in a movie. It's just that it's dinery.
So he's there and he goes and he's late and she's gone and he's distraught. And then the phone booth out front, the same phone booth that Edward Norton uses in American History X, it's ringing and he picks it up and it's a guy saying that it's the last call he can make. And then the buttons have been pushed and nuclear holocaust is coming. And he gives them like a countdown. He tells them how long he has before the implode, before the airstrikes happen. And he's like, he gets off the phone and it's like 4 a.m. and the streets are empty and he's on the Miracle Mile. And there's a few characters inside the diner, like characters. They're like, you know, like over the top, like crazy, like rich lady with a dog. And he's like, what do I do? And he kind of goes inside and somebody has like a cell phone, like a big brick of a cell phone. It's very, very 80s. Yeah. And then he springs into action and he's trying to find this woman that he loves because he wants to save her. And he's desperate to get out of town. And he goes into a gym, Brian. It's 4 a.m. and he goes into a gym and he just starts yelling, does anyone know how to fly a helicopter? It's a really fun, very, very 80s, rough around the edges for sure. I was very disappointed in my own self for not having ever heard of Miracle Mile. Oh. It's an enjoyable, wacky film, to say the least, but it's not done for yucks and it's not done for laughs. It's a weird tone because it is a romantic comedy at its core, but it's very like thriller-esque too. I don't know.
Sounds kind of Night Shift-y.
Yeah, but way less laughs. Way less laughs less than Night Shift, because Night Shift was played for a lot of laughs. But yeah, there are some, especially because you didn't know the characters. Well, you knew Henry Winkler, but you didn't really know Michael Keaton.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of After Hours is a Scorsese film. With Griffin Dunn.
I thought you said Night Shift.
No, Griffin Dunn.
After Hours.
Did I say both? I meant After Hours.
I don't know. I heard Night Shift, but you may very well might have said After Hours.
It's so funny. In my head, I thought Night Shift.
You may. If I had to put money down, you probably said After Hours.
I meant After Hours.
So yeah, he's got 70 minutes to take care of things. And what's interesting too is most of it takes place in the time frame, so it actually happens in real time from that point forward. Especially I couldn't tell. I was talking to Tina today saying, I don't know how much of this movie I like because of nostalgia and seeing that part of the Miracle Mile, which I am so familiar with. I've been
from that
on
era
it and
too.
By it. My first time I ever showed any of my movies publicly was a cold cockle night 4 years ago now, but that was on the Miracle Mile. Wow. It's like a, it's kind of like a landmark
it's
out
an
here.
Underrated LA spot. Like people come from out of town to see, you know, Hollywood and Highland and all that stuff. And that's cool, I guess, but
you should definitely go to like the LACMA and La Brea Tar Pits just to look at them. I mean, Corolla shits all over them, but there's some, I need to take the boy to La Brea Tar Pits.
Yeah, they're for kids.
I'm going to do that soon. Mm. He's going to love it. Actually, it's kind of sad. The elephants.
New, they have the, what is it, outside of LACMA, they have the art installation with the poles and everything.
Yeah, that's new, and that's a great photo op. Yeah. This artist took all of the, he collected all of the old street lamps from all over L.A., on which every single different section of neighborhood in L.A. had different style street lamps. Most of them were going to be scrapped or thrown away. They're in disarray, and he built them all back up, painted them, and refurbished them. And now there's, I don't know how many there are, there's probably like 300 maybe, all in perfect symmetrical lines. And they're all lit up at the same time, and you can go in there and take pictures.
Yeah,
and they're
great. It's become an iconic Instagram spot.
Yeah, when I was doing online dating, it would pretty much be an instant kill if I saw that photo in the profile picture, because it was all over.
I was going to say, it's almost...
It's on every girl's profile picture.
It's like, they make it's hard to take a bad picture when you're in that little spot, though. And that was not featured in the movie Miracle Mile, because it did not exist yet, Brian.
Of course, yeah, but that was only like... 10 years ago?
That's where I went to the Kubrick exhibit.
Yes,
that's
the Kubrick exhibit.
That was awesome.
Was there at the LACMA.
Pretty sweet.
All right. So that's my second and final movie, Mercifully.
Anonymous. Gutless.
Mercifully. Yes. We can't be doing 2-hour shows. Last week was 2 hours. This was paced.
If one of us wouldn't come in with 16 movies.
Well, I'm going to go quick.
Coming up next, we will reveal the movies we're most looking forward to this fall.
Mountains to climb, but I find that roll down if you must go away.
Anderson, you have 3 dogs.
3.
At the moment. Mm. Do any of them wear flea collars?
No.
Why not?
Because
my dog doesn't either, but I feel like we should.
No, why? If they have fleas, yes. But I have a very green company, I don't know why we're talking about this, who comes quarterly to my house to make sure that there's no flea activity.
Oh, that's nice. I need that number.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Because someone got on our Amazon click-through banner, clicked through and got a flea collar for cats, a Bayer Seresto flea collar for cats, and a Seresto flea collar for dogs.
I used lots of flea collars growing up in the 80s and 90s, but I've been, and I even did just recently, just for, like, during the summer, I would use them. And like apartments and stuff. But ever since I found this company, now I don't use them anymore.
I
don't know why you led me down that path.
Other things purchased through the Amazon banner. Because someone bought flea collars. I want to know, if you...
Answer no. Okay. I do wear them to punk rock clubs on myself.
Though. Really?
Yes, gives you a little high.
Just not get fleas? Oh, I thought you meant literally to not get fleas. Other things purchased include an Assault Fitness Assault Air Bike was purchased, a workout bike, TP-Link Deco Whole Home Mesh Wi-Fi System, Power Block Large Column Dumbbell Stand. That's where you rack your dumbbells. Rust-Oleum Epoxy Shield Garage Floor Coating was purchased. Shoes. A lot of people got shoes. A Nike Flex 20. A lot of people got Nikes. Stick it to the man. Nike Flex 2017. Nike Men's Tangen Shoe. Nordic Lifting Powerlifting Shoes for heavy training. Maybe the same guy who got the, or girl, who got the dumbbell stand.
You see my Instagram video of me burning my Adidas?
Did you really post that?
I burn them for not being Nikes.
For not being Nikes.
Fuck you, Adidas. Yeah. You're not Nikes.
That's what you get. And Siemens Men Dress Shoes Leather Loafers.
Siemens.
Sony Hi-Res Wireless Speaker was picked up. Video games. Logan, tell me these are any good. Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Cross Steel Book Edition.
Nope.
Marvel's Spider-Man.
Oh, very good.
Did you play that this weekend?
I almost beat it.
Oh. Probably not that hard. Namco Museum Volume 1. Is that a game?
That's for old people.
Okay.
What about Dragon's Lair? Is that a good one?
Logan, you're not that young.
No, it's like classic games. It's like Pac-Man and stuff.
Oh, how dare you? I need one of those. Zoe Time Queen Air Mattress was purchased. KP Bliss, I guess is how you pronounce that. A weighted blanket, a 15-pound gravity blanket. Mm-hmm. That would freak me out. I don't think I could do the gravity blanket.
Is it just, you know what? There's certain people that just need to have like
need
that
to,
pressure.
Just swaddled, right?
Yeah, like I remember this girl and she would have panic attacks and her boyfriend would lay on top of her and she would calm right down. She would love that 15-pounder.
Were you the boyfriend?
I was not the boyfriend.
Ancestry DNA genetic testing kit. Impact heavy duty light stand. 4-pack of Frigidaire Pure Source Ultra Refrigerator water filters. And a washing machine water valve for Frigidaire was purchased. Pete Dryer, original 2-shoe electric shoe and boot dryer. OXO, Good Grips, Hideaway, Toilet Brush, and Plunger Combo Set. And finally, undenatured Whey protein powder was purchased.
Whey?
Maybe it's the same guy who's doing the dumbbell set and the weightlifting shoes. Maybe getting
swole. Or there could be like a number of people who like to try and better themselves physically. True.
Christy does the protein powder.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys, for all the click-throughs. How about the movies? Anderson, tell me.
Are you going to learn how to do a... Are you ever going to learn that? Here are the movies that were clicked through since the last time I saw you. Two people got Ready Player One. There's some good stuff in there.
Two anonymous people?
Two anonymous. Actually, got an email from a listener about the two people that got Land of Mine last week. And he says, oh, correction to be made, sir. One was for me, one's for you. And the fucker's sending me Land of Mine to the P.O. box. And now I have to watch it. And I'm terrified, Brad. Terrified. And he works at a pizza joint. He said he fucked up his pizza because he was so upset about me not wanting to watch Land of Mine.
Sorry for whoever had to get that pizza.
Lonely Are the Brave is also clicked through, as well as Chud, which I like to think that a lot of people have fucked up and gotten Chud instead of HUD. Or
the
vice
Paul
versa.
Newman movie.
Yeah. I'm sure that's happened a number of times.
What is C-HUD?
Once Upon a Time in the West was clicked through, as well as Friday the 13th, the Ultimate Collection. Friday the 13th Part 2. Why is my music not on a loop? Friday the 13th Part 3. Two people got Upgrade. I've been getting emails. I've been getting texts. My buddy Jared Taylor just sent me a text with a picture of Upgrade. And it says, you have 48 hours to watch this. You know, the rental thing you see on. And he just wrote, it's time. I'm like, oh, goddamn right, it's time. Upgrade. Do not sleep on that fucking Upgrade, you sons of bitches. Cold Water was clicked through. What the god the hell is that? Cold Water.
I don't know.
Two people got Hereditary. And one person got The Blues Brothers. Why would you do that?
It's a great movie.
It's okay.
It's all time classic.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for clicking through. But the products as well as the movies. And now it's time to go back to the program. Back to the program.
so stupid. Hey there, kids. It's Tom Likas, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Talk about love. Welcome back. We got a whole bunch of movies to talk about, so don't waste any time.
Yes.
Let's talk about the movies we're most excited to see this fall.
And for a lot of these movies, this will be probably the first time a lot of you will be hearing of these movies. And hopefully we give enough stank to each one that you like it kind of sticks with you. And then when you do see a trailer for it or you do start hearing people talk about it, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with that.
I came across a few of these titles for the first time doing my research and watching. I do what I always do. I shouldn't do. I watch trailers.
Yeah,
I should go back and look at my list from last year. Damn it!
And I should also
do you have
your
list from last year?
No, I should also point out that this list is different from like a standard top five. I try and I treat this show like it's a service, Brian, and people do come up to me and say I feel like the Film Vault is a service, and I'm. I could have a succinct like top five list with just my favorite directors who have new movies coming out, and it could be 5-1. But I want to kind of. Put a bunch of pins in movies that are worthy of checking out between now and the end of the year.
I love that.
That's why I have 16 of them. And my number 16 might have been my number one if I was doing this the traditional fashion, Brian.
Really? Let me go over last year's top five real quick. I just found it.
Oh, Christ.
Show how bad I am at this. There's number five.
That's a way to sell this
a
episode.
A tie between All the Money in the World and The Snowman, which I still have not seen, sitting at 8% on Rotten Tomatoes. Probably
way better than The Little Stranger, I can tell you that. And it is a fucking nightmare of a movie, that Snowman.
You saw The Snowman.
Yeah, I flick-fested here on the program.
Three Billboards was number four, which ended up winning Best Picture, right? No, the Fishman movie won Best Picture.
Yes.
Molly's Game, which I actually quite liked.
Very good.
Phantom Thread, which was quite disappointing. Mm-hmm. And The Last Jedi, which was also very disappointing.
You're such a nerd.
I really am.
Number 16 for me this year. Enough about last year, right? Stop looking back, bro.
You're gonna have to do like three.
Fucking, what?
You have to do like three.
Yeah,
at a time.
I understand.
Keep pace.
I know how math works
Keep
and ratios.
Pace. Keep
number 16 for me. This very well could have been my top pick if I was doing it traditionally. Like I said,
wait. What are you doing?
I'm also doing this. Oh my god! You don't listen to a goddamn thing when you're actually looking at your computer, which is a lot of the time. And it's what you're doing is you're looking inward all the time. Is this how you treat your wife too? Because that's not a good relationship.
No, I actually like her.
Because you're always looking at your computer, just which is talk. Your own shit. It's your own stuff.
I was trying to service the listener and tell
them. Talking about The Last Jedi being your number one last year?
I'm disappointed.
So that no one wants to listen to your picks this year?
Number five, Bumblebee.
Can we talk about Bumblebee for a second? That goddamn trailer that we've all seen 30 times.
How sweet it looks.
I would like to wager a bet right now. We just did an ad for betonline.ag.
Can we save this and can we talk about it when it gets to my number one?
Brian, Bumblebee is not your number one. We just did an ad for betonline.ag, right?
Indeed.
I would like to make a bet.
What's that?
It's a fun bet.
We would just submit some prop bets.
Dude, you are all over the place.
Really, I'm excited to see you.
Stop saying that because it doesn't work. All right. And I saw you 4 days ago. It's been too much. All right.
That was pretty recent.
You know the trailer? The tag they have in the trailer, the last thing that they have for the chuckles and the laughs. And I always get just disappointed in humanity in my theater whenever everyone laughs at this ridiculous, awful joke.
I don't remember.
She's talking.
I don't remember what it is, but I remember laughing.
She's talking. What's her name? Leslie Holstrom. What's her name? The girl from True Grit. Come on.
Oh, Haley Steinfeld?
Haley Steinfeld. Thank you. Terrible with names. And she's trying to explain to Bumblebee human emotions and music and what music does. Remember this? And she puts a cassette tape in.
Oh, yeah. Shoots it across the room.
Quiet, Brian. And then it plays the Rick Astley. Never gonna let you up. Never gonna
Rick
let
Astley.
You down. Rick Astley.
Astley.
The
Astley brothers were a band.
Rick Astley. Hmm. And then Bumblebee immediately spits it out and she ducks. Yep. And then like she looks up like it would have killed her. Like if it actually hit her.
It was a projectile. It was a missile.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be hilarious. People all fall for it and they all laugh. Like Bumblebee hates that song too. Everyone hates that song. It's a horrible song.
It's pretty funny.
All right. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. The Rickroll thing is just whatever it is. I mean, at least that's a little clever and stuff. There's no way that Bumblebee has never heard a song before and he rejects that song. I don't think that scene's even in the movie. And if it is in the movie, it's not that song. That's my bet. And I want to play some money. I want to play some money.
Okay.
I'm talking $50.
Anderson prop bet here. Yeah. You going max bet?
I'll do 50. You want to take it?
No. I could totally see that scenario.
Here's the thing. You
could
win.
That's something I want to bet on.
You could win because you'll see it and I won't. And you could just lie.
True. That's 100% true. You don't take that bet. You can have any
I bet it's
want.
Not in there. Now, here's what's going to happen. Like, whenever it comes out in 2 months, I'll get a bunch of emails saying, hey, that Rick Astley song was or was not in there, and I'll have no idea what one it was talking about.
what
will have completely forgot.
Number five, Bumblebee.
What I'm doing is just highlighting films that come out in order.
I don't like that.
And it goes 16-1, and that's always the way that I do it, so I don't know why you'd be surprised. Number 16 for me, October 5th. This is the first one as far as most soon to be released.
Oh, really?
What?
Okay.
You have nothing in October?
There's a film coming out before that I thought would be your number one. Unless I have the wrong date, but I don't think I do.
Huh.
Okay, let's go. I may have the wrong date. Let's just keep going.
The Predator?
No, but we're films starting this week are eligible, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I got Mandy and I got Hal, but I already talked about both of those last week.
Okay, keep going. I might have the wrong date.
Maybe you do. All right. So October 5th, there is a film coming out. Directed by a man.
Yes.
Who made a little movie called A Ghost Story. A Ghost Story. One of my favorite films in the last number of years is A Ghost Story. I can't stop talking about it.
You do love A Ghost Story.
It shook me to my core in a lot of ways. He also did Ain't Them Body Saints, which put me to sleep. Much like President Obama puts Trump to sleep. Ain't Them Body Saints put me to sleep. Not my kind of movie. And he also did Pete's Dragon, which I liked and I shouldn't have, but there's some, it got me a little bit. I wanted the plush toy. I watch it with Tessa when she's a little older.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about right now is The Old Man and the Gun. The Old Man and the Gun comes out October 5th. This is from writer, director David Lowery, who did the aforementioned A Ghost Story. It stars Robert Redford in his final role ever. He's retiring from the business.
Right.
Well, he's not.
Sir, what's the title? What's the title again?
The Old Man and the Gun. Yeah. Casey Affleck is also in this, as well as Sissy Spacek, and it's right there in the title. I mean, the storyline is about an old man who robs banks and he has a gun, and it's based on a true story. Mostly true is the little. I think that's the tagline. Like, this story is based mostly on a true story, and you know. If a filmmaker can rock me to my core like he did with A Ghost Story, a movie that was made for under $100,000, I'm like his yeah, forever.
You at least got to commit to seeing.
Yeah, like I'll go on a second, third, fourth, fifth date with this guy. Like I'm continuing to go on dates with Paul Thomas Anderson, even though he spits in my food.
I like where your head's at.
Yeah. So, yeah. Old Man and the Gun, October 5th.
You gotta do 3.
Oh shit, that's right. October 12th, very next week. Bad Times at the El Royale. That's a great title.
Indeed it is.
Bad Times at the El Royale. Is this on your list?
Maybe.
Drew Goddard. You might know Drew Goddard. Yep. What do you know Drew Goddard?
This is his first film since Cabin in the Woods.
That's right. Yeah. Cabin in the Woods. Who doesn't love the Cabin in the Woods? One of our favorite movies.
What percentage of our audience has seen Cabin in the Woods?
80.
I hope so.
I think about 80.
It's excellent.
Bad Times at the El Royale. This is starring Chris Hemsworth, Dakota Johnson, and John Hamm. He is in 90% of the things
Bridges.
That you see.
Don't bury Jeff Bridges.
And I'm not burying Jeff Bridges. And 7 strangers, each with a secret to bury, meet at Lake Tahoe's El Royale, a rundown motel with a dark past. It's kind of a place that like Mike Carano would like to hang out.
It's a border hotel, meaning you could stay on either side of the hotel and be in a different state.
Over the course of one fateful night, everyone will have a last shot at redemption before everything goes to hell.
Now, did you watch the trailers?
No. Okay. This seems like another, but this, like you could read a number of synopses and say which one was written by the guy who did Cabin in the Woods. You would land on this one.
Yeah.
This feels very Cabin in the Woodsies. In the Woodsies.
Woods.
So that's my number 15, I should say. And, you know, Goddard, he wasn't like Cabin in the Woods was his first. He also was heavily involved in Lost. And
he's been around.
He thinks differently.
He makes things.
He thinks differently than you and I think. Number 14, same week, October 12th, First Man. First Man. There's a lot of controversy about First Man already. It's being politicized, and apparently Damien Chazelle, the French-Canadian filmmaker that he is, has omitted one of the most important parts of the entire moon landing, which was the planting of the American flag, which still is up there to this day, assuming we went. And
I can't believe that's controversial.
He admitted it, and it's kind of a big deal.
I'm shocked.
And a lot of... there's a lot of people talking about it. I've heard about it probably.
Do they need to see it portrayed on screen to like have their feelings validated? That's such pussy. That's snowflake shit.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've heard the arguments and I understand it's a huge deal. The whole entire us beating the Russians too. It's a different era. You and I didn't live through it.
I understand.
I can appreciate the fact that it was such a huge race to space.
Right.
And I've seen the movies, I've read about the history and Apollo 13, and it was all about us beating the Russians to the moon. We did. Planting that flag was pretty significant. It was a home run for the Americans, for the United States during the Cold War. And to not have that part in there, it's almost like, having a movie about a hockey championship, Stanley Cup game, and you don't actually see them get the cup.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
I understand those arguments, but also these are people shitting on the movie already, and they haven't even seen a single frame. And then they just talk about the snowflakes, and they start shitting on La La Land, and it becomes this. But the movie's already being marred because of this.
Didn't this come up on a Patreon episode with Listener X? How he talked about it was saved in the edit. Was that him that we're talking to about this?
Did he talk about the first
Logan?
No.
First Man? Was it?
I talked to Listener X. I don't know if it was on the show. I remember talking to him in my backyard about on the phone, prepping him for one of our Patreon episodes. And he was talking about how first word that he's heard from people that have seen First Man. Damien Chazelle, the guy that directed Whiplash that we all fall in love with. And then he did La La Land last year. And this is his third film. First Man, it's all about the first landing on the moon. Neil Armstrong.
Ryan Gosling.
Yes. And Claire Foy. And it's going to be a big darling.
You got to figure it's going to get attention at the very least.
I heard that it's a phenomenal movie, yet it has no human pull.
No one to catch on to.
Yeah, there's really no, kind of like a Christopher Nolan film.
I feel like, if you guys don't know,
no human emotion.
On our Patreon episodes, occasionally we have a movie insider who we call Listener X because he spills secrets and behind the scenes info, and he doesn't want his identity known, and that's totally fine by us. So we refer to him as Listener X. And I do believe he talked about First Man.
And how it was saved in the edit. Okay.
I don't know where else I would have heard that. Anyway, first man.
Should I knock out this week of October 12th, which is a pretty strong week? There's three films coming out that I'm interested that I will be seeing. This one, I'm very excited. However, it's only playing on the small screen. This is a Netflix-only movie, and it's called Apostle. Here's the...
Are you sure it's Netflix-only? Because a lot of times they'll put it in theaters for a week just to get, you know, New York and L.A., just to get eligibility. And
it's not showing up on my research. It's showing as Netflix-only. That's what it's saying. You'll hear why I'm excited about it in a moment, but here's the pitch. A man attempts to rescue his sister who's been kidnapped by a religious cult. This is written and directed by a man named Gareth Evans. He's responsible for a little movie called Raid Redemption and Raid 2. Raid Redemption and Raid 2. This man takes action films to levels we have never seen before. And he upped the stakes with Raid 2 after Raid Redemption. And I'm only, where the hell can he go? Let's see. And there's a cult involved.
It says in internet only. That's what I see.
Yeah. Netflix obviously paid a fortune to have this be exclusive to them. So that's my number 13 pick that comes out October 12th as well. So that's a busy weekend.
Indeed it is for me. So I'm going to have 7 movies total. 5 is a tie for
way too many, Brian. Come on.
So these two movies are very similar in the sense that they are both, music based. I don't know if they're going to be musicals, but they seem to be music based narrative films and films that I have been subjected to the trailer multiple times for A Star Is Born, which is on your list apparently.
Nope.
It comes out October 5th. I thought you fell very much in love with the music.
I did.
But you're not just talking about the movie.
No, I told you how much I especially when I'm looking at my phone and I just hear the trailer in the background. It seems so basic. I've heard
maybe
things.
It's time to
Listener
let the
X
old
was
ways
telling
go.
Us, like, you know, months ago about how this movie's going to like do big
maybe
things.
Maybe it's time to let the old ways down.
But that goddamn song, and that's what happens after you hear something 30 times.
Fortune.
Never gonna give you up. Never let you down.
Spit the tape.
So stupid. It's so anger-frying.
Bradley Cooper's directorial debut, right? Is this his first directed film?
I don't believe he's directed a film before this.
Starring, of course, Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. Yes, I have seen the trailer / been subjected to it conservatively a dozen times. I have seen the trailer. I have seen the trailer a dozen times. There's no exaggeration there. Comes out October 5th, and by all accounts, it's supposed to be fantastic. So I will be compelled to see A Star Is Born, as well as now. I have not seen the trailers many times. I'll be honest. It's a great trailer. And I'll be honest, for all of his faults, and there are apparently many, Bryan Singer makes good movies. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Nope.
November 2nd.
Negator.
Bohemian Rhapsody, the story of Freddie Mercury, as played by Rami Malko. This is directed by Bryan Singer. He gets the directing credit, but Dexter Fletcher of Eddie the Eagle fame, which Anderson liked very much.
I did.
Brought this film home when Bryan Singer left. Under mysterious circumstances.
He followed a boy out the back door.
Did not come back. Yes, there are... it's fantasy football season, Anderson. This is like a fantasy football player with a lot of red flags. Failed attempts to get this film going. Many directors, many stars attached. Of course, Sacha Baron Cohen. Fight Club, what's his name? Fincher. Fincher was attached at one point. Changing directors midstream, never a great sign. But great trailer. And I, at the very least, am intrigued by Bohemian Rhapsody. Of all my top 5, of which there are 7, it is the one I predict could be the worst movie.
Yeah, I don't really care to see this.
Really?
I'd rather just sit home and listen to like an entire Queen's album.
Well, here's the thing. I don't even like Queen that
Queens,
much. So I'm hopeful they'll make me... Sometimes movies can make you... The Johnny Cash movie is a great example. Walk the Line. Mm. I don't love Johnny Cash, but like I heard his music in a different
movie's
way.
It's terrible.
Is that terrible?
I shouldn't say that about any movie, but I like the beginning, I like the end, and the entire middle section
slightly
was just
above it.
You don't like her, you like her, you guys fight, you get break up, you get back together, you break up, you get back together. That was the whole movie. It was watching a couple fight. Fuck Walk the Line.
Well, I mean, Rhapsody is the movie I'm talking. What are your next?
I'm batch? Old enough that I remember my mom had like a record collection. We had the hi-fi system, and there was like these old green headphones, these cans, and I'd put them on, and I'd lay there on the ground, and I'd listen to full-length albums of my mom's. It was like Tina Turner and Olivia Newton-John, and Queen was one of them,
wow.
And I really enjoyed it. The one with the, I guess, I don't know how many albums they have, but the big
it's
one,
a good question.
Another one, Bites the Dust. I don't think they had that many songs.
That was later in their career, I thought, the one with Bites the Dust.
Well, I'm not from the 60s, Brian. All right, number, where are we? Number 12 for me, We got to move now. We got to move, Brian, down to...
Let's hustle.
October 19th. Very next week. Mid-90s. I'm taking a flyer on mid-90s. I got to tell you, the trailer looks great. Most of us have seen the trailer. This is written and directed by Jonah Hill. It's starring Lucas Hedges. It's probably the biggest name we're going to notice or recognize in this film.
It's got a real kids vibe to it.
And it's got a real kids vibe, but kids is so kids. Talking about the Larry Clark film written by Harmony Korine back in 1995, Kids. It's an infamous movie. This obviously is borrowing from Kids. It's about the mid-90s. Kids came out in the mid-90s, 1995. Yeah. This feels like Kids.
Movie of the era.
And it's ballsy to be, you know, doing something that's so similar to Kids, and there's no way it could have the dirty, horrible impact. But I don't enjoy watching Kids. I love Kids for what it is. I quote it all the time, but it's not one of those movies that you could ever sit down and enjoy, yeah, really. There's sections that, there's certain, like, you know, dialogue and back and forth. There's a couple sequences that are good, but it's not an enjoyable movie. Maybe Jonah Hill loved the movie but wanted to make one that went down smooth. So maybe this is going to be like a kid's version that... Now, I mean, it's not all light and fluffy. There's obviously abuse with the big brother you see, and there's drug.
It's funny. I think I did a little research on this movie. It didn't make my list, but I'm interested in seeing it. So my also rants. I think people are assuming a little too much that Jonah Hill is like making a very autobiographical film. He grew up in Cheviot Hills. You know Cheviot Hills.
Yeah, yeah. Driven by through it many times. Yes. It's very,
very posh.
Yes.
Very
posh. But a lot of people that grew up in posh, they try and say that they're like
street.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
and he might case. Have had friends that were street.
That's possible. I don't think it is.
He's a big indie film fan, though. I think you're onto something where he was just probably really inspired by Harmony Korine.
Yeah.
That's probably more likely.
Because I've heard him in interviews, and he's definitely knowledgeable of what indie filmmakers are doing, like, currently.
I love it when guys like this that don't have to make their own film do. I love it when they take a stab.
He's a thriving film career.
Speaking of which.
Worked with some great directors. I'm sure he picked up some good things.
I don't know about that. I mean, he's worked with great directors.
Why would
but
you default to no?
I don't know how much
Logan
you
makes the most
up.
Innocuous
Look
comment.
At George Clooney and his directing style. And he's worked with masters. And look at George Clooney's movies. So stop it.
He makes great films.
Maybe he just thought he was too good to like pick up on some tricks from them.
It's a good point. The George Clooney point. Lands. Right? It lands.
Congratulations. Don't pull your
Speaking
shoulder,
of actors.
Yourself on the back.
Speaking of actors taking a shot and doing some things. Ever heard of a man named Joel Edgerton?
I have, actually. He was in Warrior.
He was in Warrior.
And nothing since.
He also directed and was in The Gift 2015. Oh. You see The Gift, Brian?
No, I did not.
Why did you not see The Gift, Brian?
Because you didn't assign it to me.
I hate that. He wrote and directed The Gift, and there's some stuff to like in The Gift. Definitely the style. The style is very good. That's why I'm taking a flyer and excited to see Boy Erased. Boy Erased, November 2nd. Written and directed by Joel Edgerton.
Just missed making
Based on the memoir called Boy Erased. This stars Lucas Hedges once again. Lucas Hedges in mid-90s and Boy Erased. Nicole Kidman's also in this, as well as Joel Edgerton.
I'm glad you have this on your
Joel list. Edgerton's also in this. Here's the storyline. Here's a little synopsis. The son of a Baptist preacher is forced to participate in a church-supported gay conversion program after being forcibly outed to his parents. Welcome. So many things wrong with that synopsis as far as real life. Conundrums, being outed to his parents, being forced to go to a church, church for anything, let alone to make your wiener hard for different sexes.
In the trailer, they show him going to the conversion camp and all that stuff.
Oh, does the trailer look inspiring?
It does. It looks actually quite touching.
What should I do now? Should I do number 10?
One more.
November 9th. Gonna skip him. No, that was November. So Boy Erased, November 2nd, all right? Boy Erased. Joel Edgerton film about the switching of the sexual proclivity, Brian. Obviously, that interests me because that's what a lot of groupers is about. So, interesting. That's why I wrote.
That's right. Naturally drawn.
November 9th, there's a little film called The Girl and the Spider's Web.
No.
The Girl and the Spider's Web, Brian.
No, I'm shocked.
I got a good reason.
Why?
Well, the trailer looks okay. You seen the trailer?
You didn't watch the trailer.
I see trailers that are like subjected to me. And when I'm trying to figure out if it's, the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Right.
If I'm trying to figure out if they're bringing that back when the trailer comes on, and I'm intrigued, like to wonder, like, how does that work? How does it go away for years and then comes back? And then to learn that it's not the girl with the dragon tattoo, but it seems so similar.
It's the same. No, it's the same character in the same series of books.
Is it?
Yeah, Elizabeth Salander.
Whatever. A young computer hacker.
You're Elizabeth not going to see this.
I might though, because Fred Alvarez directed it, and he did Don't Breathe, which I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed it. And I don't dislike Girl the Dragon Tattoo. I saw the Swedish version. And then I saw the Nazi Kitty version with that Fincher did. But the Girl in the Spider's Web. I like the trailer. I people getting their comeuppance.
Nazi Kitty.
I like the people getting their comeuppance, Brian. Should write a movie about a bald, smug guy that gets his comeuppance. I bet people would like that.
There's a great Simpsons. Remember what Homer at one point he's riding high and he's like, there will never be comeuppance. You hear me? No comeuppance. And then of course 5 minutes later, comeuppance.
Yes, that's Homer.
You hear me? No comeuppance.
I should also say Stephen Knight wrote the screenplay. He's a pretty good writer, Brian. He did a little movie called Locke. Ever heard of it?
Not familiar.
Locke. Eastern Promises. Peaky Blinders. Taboo. Oh, we like that Stephen Knight quite a bit. You and I both like the Stephen Knight. So it's got a good cast
pedigree.
Behind it.
It's good pedigree.
Good pedigree behind it, yes.
All right, well, don't stray too far from your list, Anderson, because my number four is a tie from two movies that have already been mentioned because they come out on the same day. Bad Times at the El Royale. Sharp-looking trailer. And First Man. Trepidatiously excited. Trepidatious.
Do you say the same thing about La La Land?
Did I say the same thing?
Were you trepidatiously excited? I recall you saying almost the exact same thing.
I recently, someone, you know, these websites or whoever does these lists, you know, and someone tweeted me like,
wait, we do that every week.
I know, but they did top five movies of the century so far. Like basically the top 18 years. Mm-hmm. And someone tweeted it to me and said, what do you think? My reply is simply, if Whiplash is number one, it's invalid.
Oh my God, you're
invalid. Invalid.
You wonder why people invalid. Think you're smug.
Invalid. And then I sniffed.
I hate it. I hate it. And that's absolutely untrue. Absolutely untrue.
Number one. It should be number one and number two.
It's disturbingly untrue.
1 year in Rolling Stone on Peter Travers' end of the year top five worst movies. Worst movies list. He said Pay It Forward was number one. Number one worst movie of the year. It was 1997 or whatever it was. 2001.
Pay It Back was number one.
And number two, worst movie, Pay It Forward. Because one slot wasn't bad enough for that movie.
That's not funny. It's
pretty clever.
That's somebody just being a cunt.
That's not a good movie.
It wasn't terrible.
It's pretty bad.
It was really bad, but it wasn't worthy of the top two spots of the worst film of the year.
Do you remember the bad movies?
Of that year when I'm an idiot savant? Am I counting fucking toothpicks on the ground?
All right.
What year was it?
Probably, I don't know, 98, 99. I don't know what year Pay It Forward.
Oh, that was, I got one for you. English 2000? Patient. If it was 98, it English was Patient.
Best picture winner.
Horrible movie.
I think it's my least favorite Oscar winner.
Oh, I hate that movie so much. I would much rather sit down and watch
Pay It Forward
right now.
I actually would too.
Absolutely. So take that, Peter Taverns, if you're...
Travers. Let's do our next stiff tracks. For,
I've always read it Taverns every time I see
Travers,
his name.
Travers.
That's how much I hate him.
Travers.
All right, number nine for me. Number 10 was The Girl in the Spider's Web, November 9th. Moving on to November 16th. This also probably could have been my number one most anticipated. I've been reading about this one for a little while because I follow this director. I like him very much. His name is Steve McQueen.
Oh, Stevie.
He does not star in Bullet, though. He is a director. And this is Widows. Widows is the name of it. Widows.
I can't get it up for this movie. I need Blue Chew.
You're going to see... You're going to see the film, and it's going to be fantastic. Oh, yes. See, he's never made a bad movie.
Really?
He doesn't know how to mail it in. This guy, attention to detail. Set in contemporary Chicago. That's right now for you.
It doesn't feel like a Steve McQueen kind of movie.
I need to be quiet. What is a Steve McQueen movie to you?
Serious.
He did 12 Years a Slave. He did, have you seen The Hunger? No, you haven't. He did Shame as well. This man makes quality
heavy,
film.
Heavy, serious.
Quality film that makes you think, though, and like you actually are living it. I love this man's work. Set in contemporary Chicago amidst a time of turmoil, four women with nothing in common except the debt left behind by their dead husbands, criminal activities take fate in their own hands and conspire to forge a future on their own terms. Think Ocean's 8, but real and serious. That's what this movie is going to be like.
Oh, wow. So a totally different movie.
A totally different movie, yes.
Did you see Ocean's 8?
No.
Oh,
but
God.
I mean, I know what it was.
Wait, hold on.
Did you see Ocean's 8? Viola Davis, you want to make another prop bet? Do we see snot run out of her nose? She cries through her nose, that woman.
I think that's her default setting.
Michelle Rodriguez is also in this. It's Widows. It's the kind of movie where if it's not up for Best Picture, I'd be surprised. But I said the same thing about Detroit.
Widows. It's like a heist movie.
It's going to be up for Best Picture.
Wow. Okay.
It's going to be up for Best Picture.
I hope you're right. I said
the same thing about Detroit a couple years ago because of Catherine Bigelow, and I was wrong. But I think Widows, dude, especially it's like the year of the woman.
All right. I hope you're right, man.
They can't make Ocean's 8. I know that there's a lot of people probably want Ocean's 8 to be up for Best Picture, but it can't be.
I would love Widows. It to be great.
Widows up for Best Picture. Do I know number 8?
Do one more, yeah. Well, because you started with 9, right?
Just now.
Yeah, 987.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. There's a lot. All right, so that's November 16th. We'll all be sitting in the theater watching Widows November 16th. Also, November 16th, so it's going to be it's tough to figure out which one to watch first. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I'll be shocked if it's not on your list.
It's not. It's
just
missed.
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. How could this not be on your list?
I took it off last minute.
The Coen brothers have a new one coming out, kids. It's called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I remember why I took it off.
I've been reading about this one for a little while, too.
Okay, so back to fantasy football. When a player is on a cold streak and you start to not play him, you're fading him. You're fading that player. I'm fading the Coen brothers.
Are you kidding me? Dude, that is the wrongest thing you may have ever said on this program.
What are their last few movies? Llewyn Davis?
Brian, these guys.
Fading. Oh, the terrible one with Hail Caesar.
Brian.
No, fading the Coen brothers. Hey, man, I'm sure they can make a great movie. I'll see almost anything they make, but this is not going to be top. Not going to make my top 5 list.
Not a good sign that it's a Netflix movie, too.
Not going to make my top 5 list.
It doesn't matter. Right? No. It's a Netflix movie.
Netflix hasn't made very many good movies yet.
They throw money at things. All right, listen to me.
Even True Grit
for them
was,
yet, as far as movies go.
Even True Grit was not amongst their top 10 movies.
Here's what really excites me, is that it's an anthology movie. And I feel like the Coen brothers are built for an anthology movie, and they've never made one. And this excites me.
Again, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
An anthology Western following 6 different storylines centering on a man named Buster Scruggs.
B. Scruggs.
Yeah, I am pumped for The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and I'll be surprised if it doesn't live up to my enthusiasm.
All right.
Even though James Franco.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's going to bury this movie, James Franco being in it.
Yeah. It feels like fantasy football right now.
I'm fading the Coen brothers.
Do you notice how
the guy that I just picked and I was so high on is injured.
Actually, he's got a concussion.
I knew James Franco was in it. I knew.
The ads for The Deuce is pretty much almost out of that show now.
Really?
Like he's pretty much a background character, it seems like.
I got a question for you. What is The Deuce?
It's the David Simon show.
It's what?
David Simon show on HBO.
Oh, I don't watch shows on HBO. Is it any? Oh, The Deuce. Yes. Yes. I
haven't watched it. I want to see it.
I remember being told to watch it 2 or 3 times. Yes. Can't watch all of David Simon stuff. I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Speaking of movies getting buried. There's a movie that I very much want to assign to us. I have not seen, but it's like it's a $7 rental. Are you interested at all in Billionaire Boys Club?
No.
Kevin Spacey's in it.
Yeah, I know.
Buried as a result.
It's funny because.
Is that the one that made like $20 its opening weekend?
Yeah, it made like some insane amount of money. Answered. Like honestly, like $70.
Yeah, it was definitely less than 100.
Yeah, I actually.
I'm dying to see this movie.
I covered that on Cinematics.
All right.
And it didn't look like a bad movie. And it was really interesting. I guess it's been sitting around. There's a couple other people that were involved in it, too. That
Ansel
made
Elgort and Taron Egerton?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not the same person?
How dare you?
They have fucked up names, and they're both like
There's
the
like
same age.
3 actors that are the same person.
Taron's great, though. Taron's the... Taron? Am I saying
Taron Egerton?
Taron. Yeah. He's the Eddie the Eagle.
He's Eddie the Eagle.
One of those was a Baby Driver, right?
Ansel Elgort.
Okay. And then was one of them in
I feel like I need to see this movie just to separate them in my mind visually.
And then but was the other one in Kingsman? Okay. I got it.
Eddie Eagle and Kingsman is Egerton, yeah. Who I hated in the trailers for
And then which one was in Ready Player One?
Ashton Kutcher.
Ansel Elgort.
That's Sheridan. Ty Sheridan.
It's like neither of them.
Ty Sheridan. Them. He's totally different though.
In
he
my
looks
head
like,
they're all the same person.
Wait, which one was Han Solo?
Oh, he's a new
shit.
One.
You're just throwing me off.
All right, we're taking a break now. What are we doing?
Oh, shit. I forgot about breaks. Wait, did you go first or did I go first? I got to go next.
Number 8 for me, and I am pumped about the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. That's my November 16th that comes out. Same weekend as Widows. So
you got to do one more because you need to do 5.
Do I?
3?
Do I?
We're going to do 6, 5, 4.
Yeah, let's do that because I'm moving on to November 23rd, the weekend of Thanksgiving.
I think we're going to cross over then.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I'm looking at the, my. I got two November 23rd that both.
Wait, November 23rd.
Yeah,
it must be Thanksgiving or something.
So I got dude, you are so in your own world on this episode. I don't know where you are. I just said my next is November 23rd. The next week, it's the weekend of Thanksgiving.
No, I know, but I'm looking at the actual date because my next movie comes out on November 21st, which would be a weird day for a movie. Then it comes out on a Wednesday.
No, they come out on Wednesdays quite a bit.
Okay, well, there you go.
Especially right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm weirdly excited for Green Book.
I love him. I'm drawing a blank. Viggo Mortensen.
And Maharaja Ali.
But this does not... No, I missed my list.
You see, this is one where you got to see the trailer to get the tone of the movie. This looks... So it's Peter Farrelly's solo. I believe it's his solo directing debut. He, of course, the Farrelly brothers. Green Book is a very, from the trailer I got, a very interesting mix of tone where it's serious and might be kind of like dark, but also heartwarming. Like it reminded me a little bit of what's the one that we liked, the French film with the black and the white guy, not Heartbreakers. What's it called?
The Impossibles.
The Unpossibles. What's it called? No, it's called
Impossibles. Impossibles.
It's got a weird.
Caretaker and the guy that the Impossibles.
No, it's Unpossibles. It's got like a weird word that doesn't make sense.
It's a French film. The Impossibles.
I think it's the Unpossibles.
The Impossibles.
Is it the Impossibles?
Anonymous.
This film was Green Book. And Viggo Mortensen.
Intouchables.
Intouchables.
It's a movie that.
That's where you were thinking Untouchables, and that's where your brain was going. That makes sense.
My brain is going to a word that isn't a word. Intouchable.
Intouchables.
Untouchable is a word.
Untouchable, yeah, but you were saying Unpossibles. Yes.
So Viggo Mortensen plays sort of a mob enforcer type who is hired to drive Maharaja Ali, who is a successful concert pianist, I believe. He's a concert musician all around the South, and be his bodyguard slash driver. And this is set in like, you know, the early 60s, I believe, or late 50s. It's, you know, before the civil rights era. And you can imagine the problems that come with Maharaja Ali as you know him from Moonlight, right. A black man touring on the South as a musician. He comes across some Nasa Saber characters, and it's an odd couple buddy movie road trip formula, but could be schmaltzy. I'm prepared for this, but also hard to screw up this formula. I'm weirdly looking forward to Green Book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess Green the trailer Book. Put you over the top.
The trailer hit all the right notes. No pun intended.
I'm intrigued by just the description of that. Yeah. I haven't seen the trailer.
It's a good looking, and Viggo's doing a real, you know, mafioso type thing. And yeah. And they, of course, you know, come from different worlds. He's the, you know, the New York thug type, and Maharaja Ali is this culture musician.
Well, there's another one coming out, Brian, September 20th, this month, coming up soon. Have you heard of The Sisters Brothers? It's not on my list.
But I have, and it didn't make my list.
It's similar in the sense that it's going to be a comedy, and it's not what you would expect.
It looks R-rated.
But it's R-rated, but it's starring John C. Reilly, Joaquin Phoenix, and Jake Gyllenhaal. And it's directed by a man named Jacques Audiard, who is known for A Prophet and Rust and Bone. And those are two French heavy fucking movies. And he's making this jokey, almost like Step Brothers movie, which it's called Sisters Brothers. It's a Western, yes, 1850s Oregon. So we'll see. Yeah.
That's another trailer I've been subjected to a few times.
I have not seen the trailer for that. Mm. So I've just seen the names, and that's intriguing enough for me. So are we taking a break now?
We're taking a break. Let's coming next. Break. A top two, or Anderson's case, six. Movies we're looking forward to.
Seven.
Bet online, Anderson.
Bet online.
Update. So they're asking certain Podcast One hosts, suckers like me, to make their picks, right? Their five picks every week for the NFL. And last week, they're asking you to make like four picks and then one best bet, the one you're most sure about, because it's a contest.
Right,
it's going to go bet season online. Long. You're bet playing against other hosts.
Online. BetOnline.ag.
That's right.
BetOnline.ag.
And they asked us to make our picks, our five picks, one being the best bet. I lost my best bet. I bet the Saints over the Buccaneers, and the Saints, shocking, they're favored like 10 points.
Shockingly lost. How many people got kicked out of suicide pools?
I will point out, though, that a number of other hosts picked the Saints as their best bet, so I was not alone.
Well, you just looked at the board and took the biggest favorite, probably.
You know what I'm doing? I'm doubling down. Saints this week are my best bet at home against the Browns. No way they lose their home opener.
You know what you should also do
is
put a futures bet on the Buccaneers, win it all.
That is unlikely. Uh-huh. Almost as unlikely as the Browns losing, or the Browns beating the Saints at home. Mm-hmm. So follow along our picks at podcast1sportsnet.com. And if you want to go to betonline.ag, you can use promo code podcast1, the number one, podcast1, to receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. That's podcast1, the number one, to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. Use my picks, or don't. Use someone who's actually good at this. No, I'm good. How dare you? I'm good. I'm a big comeback. Big comeback.
How dare you, me?
How dare you, me? Insult me. Podcast1. Number one is the code at betonline.ag.
Your online sportsbook experts.
Blue Chew.
Blue Chew, Brian.
They're back, guys. They're back.
Hey, Blue Chew.
We must have moved some Blue Chew.
I got my Blue Chew in the mail, Brian.
Did you really?
Told the wife.
In the discreet packaging?
It's discreet.
Did she hold it up and said, what's this?
No, I got it out of the mail. And I'm like, I was like, what is this? I was like, what?
You forgot that you said it to yourself?
Because it doesn't say what it is, because people, you know, they it's discreet.
It just says Andy Cohen.
Who's Andy Cohen?
You.
Oh, that's not my name.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. Like they change your name. They don't change. It was my name.
That would be discreet.
Blue Chew is it's the same as Viagra or Cialis, whichever one you like. And it's the first ever chewable. And you don't have to have ED. I'm fine with talking about this stuff. I don't have ED. I don't have the ED over there. However, it makes it more fun. It makes it more enjoyable. And here's the thing. It takes 20 to 30 minutes for it to kick in.
Okay.
So what I do is I just tell the wife, I show her the pill. I pop it, I chew it, and I go, honey, it's going to be on in 20 to 30.
You just tap the old
20 to 30, and I start the timer, right? So it's just clicking backwards. Yeah. And she knows that if she's not ready when the timer goes off,
if she's not out of town,
I'm knocking on the neighbor's door.
Exactly. Someone's getting the benefit.
No, it is really fun. Because, I mean, I've been married for like 6 years now, and it's not like we're not having fun in the bedroom anymore.
We're
trying to have another child, and Blue Chew is like, obviously, it works really well for people with ED. That's what it's created for. But I'm even using it. You don't need that. It enhances your experience in the old bedroom, and it kind of makes it a sure thing.
If things aren't as hot and heavy as they once were in the bedroom, the sure solution is another child.
Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use promo code TFV. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code TFV.
For $5 shipping, you get it at BlueChew.com, code TFV. Anderson, I'm psyched. We're going to get some shirts.
Yes, I actually approached this company. I actually requested this company because I love to not tuck shirts in.
Which company is that?
Untuck It.
Untuck It.
Untuck It. I've heard them advertised on other programs that I listen to, and I'm like, why are they not a part of our program? Because I love not tuck. I'm the inventor of untucking my shirts. I remember getting yelled at by adults.
I feel you had your shirt untucked to your wedding. Like
you got to tuck that.
You were dancing and the shirt was like.
I'm sure. My move, and it's kind of douchey, but my move is to not only when I'm at weddings and wearing a suit, usually if it's a good time and I'm having a great time at the wedding, I will untuck the shirt.
Oh,
and
don't
say
the tie goes around your head.
Oh, no. I put the jacket on inside out and the lining looks sweet and it looks pretty good. And I pop the collar. That's a good look.
Maybe you shouldn't be taking fashion advice from Anderson, but untuckit.com has all the shirts that are designed to be worn untucked. Don't take my word for it. My word that I just invented. Weird.
It's 2018. We don't need to tuck the shirts in anymore, guys. All right,
and here's the offer, you guys. Use the promo code TFV. You get 20% off your entire purchase. Not just one item. Everything you buy, 20% off. Promo code TFV at untuckit.com. Welcome back. Time to get to the meat portion, where we talk about the films we're most excited to see. Except for you, Anderson. You're finishing in chronologically.
I always do it that way, Brian.
Are you really finishing chronologically? Is your last movie the latest in the year?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It kind of works out, though.
Okay, because
I'm excited.
My number two, did you miss this one? Because how are you not excited for my number two that comes out September 28th? Hold the Dark. You missed it.
No.
How are you not excited about this?
Because it's ton. I don't like Frozen. I'm.
The fuck does that have to do anything? It's Jeremy Saulnier.
Yeah, I know, but it takes place in the. I've been reading about this one for like 2 years.
It's written by Macon Blair.
I know, but it takes place.
This is insane.
The tundra, Brian. I don't like tundra movies, and I'm not getting myself all pumped up. And it's a Netflix movie, right?
Yeah, it's coming out in theaters.
Like maybe a week or so.
They're not believing it that much.
I think it's mainly to go, on Netflix.
I think they're putting up for Oscar eligibility.
Honestly, I think I'm more excited about the Gareth Edwards. Really? I know I'm more excited about the Gareth Edwards movie.
Shocked. Hold the Dark comes out September 28th. It is directed by Jeremy Saulnier, written by Macon Blair. Yeah, the trailer is bleak. It looks very Wind River-ish. Dark, moody, atmospheric.
I know. I'm not going to give in.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I might when I see it. I just know my sensibilities, and for whatever reason, when movies take, I know, and I get a lot of shit.
This is
from
the
people.
Immovable object meets the irresistible force.
When movies take place where there's a lot of white snow, I'm just bored. It just sucks the soul out of me.
Jeffrey Wright plays sort of a detective out in the wilderness looking for some missing kid or something.
Yes.
Yeah. There's this could be. It felt very Wind River-ish to me. I'm sure it did to you too.
Mm-hmm. It felt Insomnia to me. It
could be bleak. In fact, it most likely will be.
And he is a bleak director with really great characters that sing. It's hard for characters to sing. This might seem strange. Maybe people don't think about this stuff, but like when characters are all bundled up and they're always like out in the snow and like, you know, they're shivering. I mean, that's part of the acting. I think actors like it because it gives them something to do. Right. But they don't really like, you don't. Imagine Nicolas Cage in like a movie that just takes place in the snow, like
The Weatherman.
It's just no, because he's like in streets.
I know.
I don't care if it's like in the middle of winter in Alaska, as long as you're inside most of the time. But when you're out in the wilderness, which this one is,
okay.
I have a feeling I know what it's going
to
be.
I'm surprised. I just thought that might give way to your love of Saulnier.
I love Saulnier. I do. I'm holding this one at bay.
Okay. I'm very surprised, but that's my number two.
All right. That's your number two?
Oh, you should have gone first, by the way.
Yeah, I absolutely should have. Damn. All right. Here's one. See, speaking of bleak, there's only one reason why I even have this highlighted on my list. It's called The Favourite, misspelled F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E.
Yeah, just missed making my list. The Favourite? Oh, sorry.
Favourite.
I was thinking of The Front Runner.
The Favourite. No, The Front Runner is not on my list.
Yeah.
Jason Reitman is not going to be on a list of mine.
It's not on my list either.
Frontrunner. Frontrunner is a Gary Hart true life story about that guy running for president. Yep. Bill Burr's in this as well.
Played by Hugh Jackman.
And Hugh Jackman's already getting Oscar buzz as Bill Burr. And Jason Reitman wrote and directed it. This is not on my list, but it's all about the scandal that was. And I guess it'll be interesting if they actually can sell the scandal and make you feel what it was like back then when
quaint.
A presidential candidate actually had a minor scandal like this, and it meant something today's world.
Yeah,
and there might be
scandal.
Some nods, and there might be like, you know, some Spike Lee like parallels where they're like punching us in the face with it, or there might not be. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But that's the front runner.
Marginally interested in.
I do like the poster though of the bus going off the cliff. That's a very 70s-esque poster. Wait,
was
the front runner.
Was your number?
I've not done my seven yet.
Oh, okay.
Brian derailed because he's
ejected. So what were those two movies then?
Well, there was one movie. It's called The Front Runner.
The Favorite and The Front Runner.
The Favorite is my number seven, and The Favorite, F-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E.
Yeah,
Favorite. This is. Suffer with me as I read the premise. In the early 18th century England, frail Queen Anne, played by Olivia Colman, occupies the throne, and her close friend, Lady Sarah, played by Rachel Weisz, governs the country in her stead. When a new servant, Abigail, played by Emma Stone, arrives, her charm endears her to Sarah. I mean,
that sounds amazing.
Can you imagine?
Why is this so high on your list?
The Little Stranger sounds exciting, or it is exciting compared to this. There's one reason why it's on my list, and that's Yorgos Lanthimos directed. He is the director of such horrible, boring piece of shit films as The Alps. That's the only one that I have to list there. He also did a little movie called Dogtooth.
Indeed he did.
He also did a little movie called The Lobster, which I loved the first act of. He also did a little movie that I loved the entire movie of called The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Fuck to the S with The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
You're going to have to sign that to me at some point.
Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Still have not seen.
That's the theme song.
Oh, sounds like what I like.
So he's directing The Favorite. Unfortunately, you know what? He didn't write this one. I shouldn't have this on the list. This is like him just taking a paycheck, I think. As my buddy Greg Srzavosti said, On Cinematics, Brian, I was talking about how The Predator might get my ass in the theater just because Shane Black directed it.
There's a pedophile.
I believe he wrote it. Was it?
There's a pedophile on it.
What?
Have you heard about this? Logan, you heard about this with Olivia Munn?
Yeah. What?
So Logan probably explained it better than I could, but as I understand it, one of Shane Black cast one of his buddies in a small part, and the guy is a registered sex offender, and Olivia Munn brought this up when she found out about it towards the end of the film and had him taken out of the film. Basically, or edited out.
Yeah, I think they edited him out and then removed him from the press circuit.
And that's Shane Black's buddy?
Yeah, and the other actor, for
Shane
some
Black
reason,
did a bunch of drugs, and he probably hung out with some unsavory characters.
And the other actors are kind of like icing her out now, like they're freezing her out.
So, anyways,
I
was talking about this is why these shows run so long, is because I pontificate about things like this. But I was talking to, with Greg Srivastava about Predator. Should I be a little bit excited about Predator because Shane Black's involvement? And I really love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I can't believe his first movie ever, and you know he's been writing for the Lethal Weapons, the Nice Guys. I mean, he's got a. So when you see a name like Shane Black on a movie, The Predator. It's like, oh, maybe. And I'm like, should I be excited? And Greg just laid it all out there for me. He's like, no, he's an older man and he accepted a paycheck. I'm like, you're absolutely right. I should not be excited about The Predator at all. And I'm not. Anyways, probably the same case or similar case with Yorgos Lanthimos, director of Killing of a Sacred Deer most recently, before that The Lobster and Dogtooth. This new one is The Favorite. And I'm sorry I spent that much fucking time on it. November 23rd. I can't wait to miss it with you. Six for me.
Amazing.
November 23rd as well, and that is If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yeah.
I've seen the trailer for this. Parts of it look way over dramatic and stylized for an indie film run, like a Sundance type film. But it worked for him with a little movie called Moonlight, talking about Barry Jenkins' new movie, If Beale Street Could Talk. And I don't have the synopsis actually on my notes for me.
Oh. The trailer does not tell much of the story.
It is a period piece, and it looks to be a love story and strife with civil rights. Mm. And, you know, you just have to have it on your radar. And this is a movie I can't imagine. I don't see
award,
this movie.
Award talk.
So, and it's weird when you hear a movie that's such a mouthful like that. If Beale Street Could Talk, like to most people, like that's just like a bunch of words strung together.
That's true.
And like, there's a good chance that, like, you know, 3 months from now, it's and for the rest of our lives, it'll just be like a household name. That's weird to me.
Mm.
If Beale Street Could Talk, could very well be just like everyone knows.
Yeah, you know? Like three billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. Like,
right.
That's something we all know.
Great
now.
Example.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my number six. Here's another one that probably would not even make the also-rans. It's just kind of like a little asterisk next to it. It's interesting, but it's on my list because it's worth talking about. December 7th is when The Silence comes out. The Silence. It's rare today that we see two movies come out so close together that are so similar in nature. The Silence is one of those movies. December 7th is when this story comes out. Tell me, I should have done this differently. I should have had you guess which movie it was. All right, here's the synopsis. The story of a family struggling to survive in a world terrorized by a deadly primeval species who have bred for decades in the pitch darkness of a vast underground cave system, hunting with their senses.
No.
And the lead woman, girl, is deaf. And it's called The Silence. It's almost identical to A Quiet Place. Almost identical. And it's coming out during award season. So that's shocking to me. This is directed by John R. Leonetti, who is the director of Annabelle, and he's also started off as a cinematographer, which usually turns out well as far as films directed by people who come from cinematography.
Yeah,
it usually looks great.
Hits are Mortal Kombat Annihilation and The Butterfly Effect 2.
He also did Annabelle, Brian. Let's not forget Annabelle.
Sure did.
No, and he was the DP. He was the director of photography for those movies.
No, he was not. He's credit as director.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what I saw.
So I like I said, this is more of like an asterisk movie. Like, how is The Silence? Like, who stole what, or is it just one of those coincidences? You know what I mean?
Mm.
The Silence.
The Silence.
You know what's funny too is when I was researching this, when I was on IMDb reading about it, there's ads for Jack Reacher all over the place with Krasinski. And Krasinski's like looking over his shoulder as I'm reading about this.
No, it's Jack Reacher, Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan. Mm. Same thing to me. Same thing to me. White guy and explosions.
You're holding your second beer, I should point out.
What's for new the about that?
This is getting good.
It's usually like this.
Tucci's in this movie.
And Tucci is also in this movie. Mm-hmm. As well as John Corbet. Mm-hmm.
John Corbet. Well done.
All right. Number four for me. Oh, this is once again, Lineage Legacy. Curious to see what the kid does with his sophomoric effort. Under the Silver Lake. This is a movie I've been reading about for months as well. Under the Silver Lake. This is director David Robert Mitchell. His follow-up to It Follows. It Follows rewrote the horror rule book for that type of movie. In many ways, it was very inventive and fresh and new.
I continue to reference that movie quite a bit.
And this is his next one. It's Under the Silver Lake. This is starring Topher Grace. And here's the, and Sydney Sweeney and Riley Kehoe. Here's the premise. Sam, intelligent but without purpose, finds a mysterious woman swimming in his apartment's pool one night. The next morning, she disappears. Sam sets off across Los Angeles to find her. And along the way, he uncovers a conspiracy far more bizarre. Don't know what that far more bizarre is. But David Robert Mitchell wrote and directed this one, Under the Silver Lake. Very LA-centric film. And
yeah, Silver Lake.
I'm going to check that out. Under the Silver Lake.
Okay.
I got three left.
I got one. I think we're going to match up here because this comes out very late in the year. And I'm very excited for. This is my number one. I'm most excited for. Welcome to Marwen. Welcome to Marwen.
December 21st. So it lands as my number one just because of where it lands in the year.
It's our number one. Each of our number one. Wow. We both having the same number one. Directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Steve Carell, billing itself, Anderson, as the, quote, most original movie of the year, which is absurd.
It's ridiculous.
It's a fictionalized version of a previously released documentary that we both liked, Welcome to Marwen Call.
Yeah,
why wouldn't they just call it Marwen Call?
Yeah, maybe. Because they probably spent lots and lots of money on marketing and research. And
I was going to say, I'm sure they got some bad research back on Marwen Call.
Yeah. I don't like the title Marwen Call. Like, what does that even mean?
Marwensel?
If it was like a place and like I was being welcomed to it, I think I'd feel more at home.
If it was called Marwen?
Like, why don't you just like make that the name of the fictional city and you welcome me to it?
I like how we're crapping on our number one. Welcome to Marwen is, if you guys know, can people see what, I'm going to look up, just talk about it for a second because I'm going to look up Welcome to Marwen.
So, okay, it's based on a true life event that was almost like a cult hit documentary that Brian and I both loved and talked about and brought to the program a number of years ago now.
Is it just called Marwen Call?
It's called Marwen Call, yeah.
Okay.
And it's a true life story of this very emotionally sad man who has been victimized, and he's got PTSD from beatings that he took. What's that?
It's streaming. I've never heard of this service before, but it's streaming on a service called Fandor. I don't know what that is, but you can rent it on Apple iTunes for just $3.99. Well worth it.
Marwen Call, yeah. It's a movie you've never seen. You've never seen this story before, as is the case with a lot of really good documentaries. And it's about this guy who was beaten savagely by some hoodlums, if I recall.
There's a bar,
And he lost his short-term memory. And
it affected him mentally.
Lost his he's mentally impaired now as a result. And he lives his entire life through these action figures and G.I. Joes. And this giant, elaborate,
very elaborate
world
town,
that he built in his backyard on his property, mainly of heroic acts occurring in wartime.
Yep, and it's a fictional town called Marwen Call, and he's like, oh, this guy's dealing with this situation, and these two people are in love. And
right, which could have been an interesting piece on on 60 Minutes, a 20-minute piece, but the way this Marwen Call was shot was so engaging, and it really kind of took you into that world, and it was really artfully done, and just a really well-crafted documentary. And all these years later, well, I shouldn't say all these years. It's probably been 6-7 years.
Where that's a 2010 movie.
Okay, so 8 years later, we have finally a fictionalized version of it.
And Robert Zemeckis...
Not fictionalized, but a narrative version.
Sometimes is the right director for the right material. I think Robert Zemeckis is extremely underrated as a director, but also when it comes to... He doesn't get enough credit for how well he integrates special effects into his movies seamlessly. Like, a lot of people make special...
I think
special,
that's all he gets
effect. But a lot of people make special effects movies.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Bay and such.
He uses them to erase what's his name's legs.
Yep, Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant
but that's
Dan's
a perfect
legs.
Integration of special effects. And the way they've done the Marwen Call, the Marwen, I should start saying it that way, the Marwen aspect of this film looks amazing. Amazing. I'm very excited. Very excited for Walter Marwen.
All right. Going
I'm
back
excited for people to get excited about this and then go back and tell them.
Yeah, that's
a great
like a perfect world, but I don't think that happens very often.
Really?
Unless this becomes just like a giant hit.
I could see that. It looks very heartwarming. Very heartstrings.
You know what? That's what Zemeckis doesn't get the credit for. It's really like making human emotion, human interest stories pop and pop culture. what he did with just Back to the Future. I mean, you really care about every single thing that's happening in that story.
Fully developed supporting cast, characters at top to bottom.
Yeah, it has a chance of being a really good one, or it could be really schmaltzy. It could be really schmaltzy.
I'm praying for good.
Can we even talk about who's starring in this?
Steve Carell, and that's all I have written down, but it's what's her face?
Leslie Mann. And Isa Gonzalez, who is also in my number two.
I personally don't think that this is the Steve Carell movie that gets the Oscar attention this year.
What's the other one?
I don't know if it's on one of your lists. I don't really want to step on it.
And I'm going to make that my number one just because I got to finish strong here.
Let's hear it. That's right. Don't want to raise
the dad. Forever. Stop it.
The dad. That's all I said.
The dad.
Spoiler alert.
Isa Gonzalez was the young love interest in Baby Driver, and she's in Marwin. Welcome to Marwin. What is it called?
Welcome to Marwin.
Welcome to Marwin. Stupid title. And she's also in my number two, which is Alita. Comes out December 21st, same week as Welcome to Marwin. She's in two giant movies coming out the same week. Alita is directed by Robert Rodriguez and is written by James Cameron. And it is an action film, and it stars Jennifer Connelly, Eliza Gonzalez, and Lana Condor.
Easy.
Farzad, don't text me during the fucking program. Alita is an action-packed story of one young woman's journey to discover the truth of who she is and her fight to change the world. She's a AI sentient being, from what I understand. And Robert Rodriguez, what have we seen that he has done recently that we were excited about? He's kind of taken a leave of absence, he's got a great filmography. So this seems ambitious. It seemed to be released at the right time, and I'm excited to see Alita. It could be his Lucy.
I am cautiously optimistic about this one. It didn't make my list, but I will see this.
Here are the movies that he's made over the last few years. Red 11.
Go on.
Johnny Quest. Mm-hmm. Machete Kills in Space. 100 Years. Sock 'em Dead, that's a short. From Dusk Till Dawn, the series. He did seven episodes of that. And it just goes on and on. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For was the last movie that anyone's heard of or talked about that he's directed.
It was
So that's my number two, waking my default number one, going back in time here. So that was December 21st, same weekend as Welcome to Marwin. And the weekend before that, December 14th, very interesting movie as far as casting goes and story goes and history goes and director goes, and that is Backseat.
This is my last one before I eliminated it.
Backseat. I don't know how you eliminate Backseat. Backseat is the story of one Dick Cheney. And Dick Cheney...
Have to assume a young Dick Cheney?
It might be. They do incredible things with makeup, and the man lives hard. The man lives hard. I'm talking about Christian Bale. He lives hard, so he might... When you think about who would play a good Dick Cheney, Christian Bale is not one that pops. Does not jump to mind.
We should point out, written and directed by?
Adam McKay, who the last thing that we saw that we enjoyed and talked about was The Big Short.
I love that movie so much more than you, and you liked it.
I liked it very, very much. But he also, you know, did Anchorman 2. He's a comedian. The other guys, he's a comedic director. And for him taking on such a serious subject... in Dick Cheney, which has, depending on what kind of lens you look at it through, many comedic moments. So I can only hope that this is going to be like an American Hustle type look at history with a comedic lens, because Dick Cheney is such a curmudgeon and such that guy. And I remember, I keep my politics fairly close to the vest, and they're moderate for the most part. I just try and hear everybody because I don't like to... Just don't like when people get entrenched on one side or the other, and it makes my wife furious.
It's gauche.
It's gauche what?
When people, you know, are very...
it's like religion. It's like we don't, you know, none of us are all full-time politicians. And I know that the left really thinks that they're right because they're pious almost in their sense of like, we are progressive and we're taking everything, you know, humanity in the right direction. And I understand that they really believe that. And there's a lot to be said for that. But I also know that the other side, the right, the red side, has plenty of good arguments, and they care about their family and those around them, the community, and that kind of gets lost with the left.
Not everyone around them.
The ones that are immediately around
them.
Not
the ones cutting the grass. I'm joking.
But I think it's as simple as, like, a lot of the time it's as simple as, like, rural area people just think of their community, and community is very important. And the people that in blue states, they forget about community because the community is fucking exploding because there's so many of us and we don't really have a community. I understand both sides and I try and stay in the middle, and because my wife gets very angry. Anyways, that's not important. I was talking about Dick Cheney.
You're talking about Dick Cheney.
I remember I defending him quite a bit to crazy blue people back in the day, like around 2000, 2001, where I was hearing things from blue people who were saying things like this, like, I know for a fact that Osama bin Laden and George W. Bush were smoking weed in a cave and they planned 9/11 together, bro. You don't even know. And it's all because Dick Cheney and Halliburton.
What, is that true?
It's all for Dick Cheney and Halliburton. Shit. And it was all through him, and he's the one who orchestrated the whole And I remember just saying, you guys aren't really serious. The man's not the best person in the world, but he can't be as evil. Anyways, it'll be interesting.
A very personal pick.
It'll be interesting to see. So Backseat is the name of it. And the storyline suggests that Dick Cheney was the actual president, as far as I can tell, which a lot of people said at the time.
As in backseat driver.
It's coming up as called Vice.
I see. I had backseat.
I tried searching backseat. Nothing came
up.
Yeah,
I see that Vice as well for Adam McKay.
Yeah, I tried searching backseat.
The last minute. That's a dumb title too.
That is a dumb title. Doesn't explain it at all. It's a very obvious title.
It wasn't Vice a couple days ago when I was on IMDb and Adam McKay's page.
Seems to be the title of the movie now.
Yeah, there's another one. I came across another film that wasn't titled yet. Oh, James Gunn. An untitled James Gunn movie.
Welcome to Modern Call.
Usually they show under the title, though, if it's known by other names, it'll say like Backseat, or also known as Backseat, but it doesn't even show that on IMDb.
I have it as Live, Die, Backseat.
And also probably the most exciting thing about this one is Sam Rockwell's involvement playing George W. I mean, that's going to be fun right there, right? Steve Carell's also in it. He plays Donald Rumsfeld. Let's see where they go with the makeup, and if we can actually buy in, or if it's just going to be like an SNL spoof. Because that's Adam McKay comes from SNL. He did a lot of, he's credited with a lot of the short videos. Amy Adams is also in this. This is Lynn Cheney. I could see this one being... Oh, Bill Pullman as well. I almost forgot about Bill Pullman. I can see this being just a huge, huge fucking movie. So almost sweeping the Oscars, being the darling, or just kind of peter out.
Oh, yeah. Coming and going.
But
it's almost on my list, so I'm excited to see this one.
Vice? Am I going to be a dick and always call a backseat? People have no idea what I'm talking about.
It'll be urgent tomorrow.
Honestly, guys, to be totally honest, I did a fair amount of research on this one because it was one of the most excited I've been about any of these movies, and Vice never popped up until today. And I've been researching for like the last 5 days.
I had it as backseat.
So I don't wonder if this is a brand new thing that just came up. I wonder. Because everyone's just going to think Vice News.
Don't you have another one?
No. That my default number one.
No, what about the other Stephen Carell movie? Steve Carell movie.
No, we already did that.
Yeah, Vice was your number two.
It was my default number two. Alito was my number two, and then Backseat became my number one.
Oh, Beautiful Boy.
Welcome to Modern Call is Steve Carell, as well as Backseat.
And Beautiful Boy isn't on your list?
Beautiful Boy is not on my list.
Okay, because Logan mentioned the other Steve Carell movie. I thought that was the one he was talking about.
No, it was Welcome to Modern Call.
No, that was the first Steve Carell movie.
No, I was saying, I think Welcome to Marwin is not going to be the Oscar movie
Backseat
for Steve Carell this year.
Or Vice.
Beautiful Boy will be...
He's talking about Beautiful Boy.
Beautiful Boy is not.
Will get Steve Carell more attention than Welcome to Marwin. Welcome to Marwin will just go like one of those indie darling movies that will just come and go. It'll be like a middling movie.
But what about Backseat?
Robert Zemeckis doesn't make a lot of indie movies, though.
Well, okay, fine, not indie, but why it'll, be we like, just, it'll be like an in, a middling feel-good movie, I think.
Why are we ignoring the fact that Steve Carell's in Vice
he's
or
like,
Backseat?
He's like way down the cast list. That's
how, oh, is he?
Yeah, a backseat. Like, he's the star of these other two movies. Mm-hmm. I agree. Beautiful Boy looks like a very, very intense movie, and I would not be shocked if it got him.
He plays Donald Rumsfeld. It
doesn't come into his life until much later, though.
I don't know. What was that movie with Ben Stiller a couple years ago where he was, like, he was living out these different realities? Yeah. That's Welcome to Marwin gave me those kinds of vibes. Okay. I think it's just going to be forgotten.
Fucking lame.
Which one?
Walter Mitty.
Ben Stiller movie. You ever see it? Where he's like living in alternate realities or something.
He's a skateboarder guy.
No, Walter Mitty. He's like he's fantasizing that he's.
Yeah, yeah. Then he's like an action hero and like he does downhill skating. I liked that movie until the very end when he finally finds Sean Penn. Yeah. That ruined the entire movie.
I think Welcome to Marwin's going to be like that.
All right.
It just looked too polished and feel good.
Do you want to hear also rans or want to hear the listener top five?
Listener top five, I guess.
Let's do it.
And I don't do also rans because I have every single one on my list.
Right. I'll mention a couple others, but go ahead, Logan.
All right. Number five, A Star is Born.
There you go.
Number four, The Sisters Brothers.
All right.
Number three, First Man.
All right.
Number two is Bad Times at the El Royale. And the number one movie as from the number one fall preview as voted on by our listeners is Mandy.
Well, I didn't see that coming.
I love the fact that our listeners are so pumped for that one.
Mandy.
I am excited to see it in the theater, and I think it was the right move to just say fuck trying to watch this through my Apple TV and through my computer. Every now and again, like a screener platform just sucks. You know what the funny one thing about this was when I was trying to watch Mandy, I kept trying to advertise like have your movie on our platform for screening purposes. Nope. I'm like fuck you.
Don't think so.
I'm excited to see Mandy. I will have seen Mandy in theaters by this time next week.
Other movies, of course, Bumblebee, Venom didn't make the list. Anderson, no Venom.
No, dude, it's probably going to just steal one of my favorite actors, or my favorite actor, Sean, for probably 5 years.
Surprised at how many listeners actually voted for Venom. I didn't think that many people were excited about it.
It's going to be a big movie. Really? I've already seen an advertisement.
A lot of people seem skeptical of it, but...
Beautiful Boy does look very intense and probably... I am shocked you didn't have Assassination Nation on your list.
No.
I don't know, it seems like your kind of movie. We'll see. White Boy Rick, any interest?
No, it's already out, and it's got... bad reviews. I was worried about the timing of it, and I was worried about the marketing of it, trying to make it all looking hip. How many times can we hear that story?
I've been subjected to that trailer.
I get that. Times. A lot of fucking people came up and made money with drugs. Not all of them deserve their own movie.
No Fahrenheit 11.9?
I mean, it's worth mentioning just because it's
going to
be...
With that one, you know what you're going to get. Like, you're not...
You're going to get a very one-sided argument.
Yeah, you know, and you kind of know where it's going to lay out, I would imagine. A Simple Favor? Nothing?
What's that?
Yep. And all the other ones were mentioned.
I got one that comes out Christmas Day, and I could see this being up for a few awards.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
On the basis of sex, the story of the Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her struggles for equal rights, and what she had to overcome in order to become a U.S. Supreme Court justice. It is kind of her year with RBG being a darling at the in the theaters, as well as CNN running it over and over again. And this is directed by Mimi Leader and Felicity Jones, who I fell in love with the Stephen Hawking story a few years ago.
You have to yell.
Felicity Jones will be playing RBG, which will be interesting because she does not look like a bird.
No, she'll have to, they'll have to prosthetic her up a little bit. She got the little button nose. Anyway.
You know what they should do on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is they should change Dee's name from a bird. They should start calling her RBG.
Because she looks like a bird?
I'm not trying to make fun of the woman's
look. It sounds like you're trying to make fun of her looks.
I always thought she looked like a bird, and then I heard John Oliver say it, and I'm like, yes, he's right. Just this week, on the Last Week Tonight.
That's fair.
Yes. I think so. I like to think so.
Mara would call.
So that one's called On the Basis of Sex, and it sounds like a Kinski movie.
All right,
Kinski.
Want to wrap it up with some gambling?
Yep. Last week you gambled on The Nun. At the time, the Rotten Tomato score was
the sum
33%. Anderson 66, and Brian bid 48. Currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomato
probably
score
gone up by 30% at least.
For The Nun, it's landed on 27%.
That's
making Brian the winner.
Me the winner.
Anderson, I'm going to assign you a film.
Is it about a tuba player?
No, it's about a comedian. It's a documentary, and I've seen it, and I love it, and I hope you love it, too. You may have to pay for it, and if you don't like it, I'll pay you back.
That's fine.
Okay. It's a documentary called Gilbert.
It's Godfrey?
Gilbert Godfrey.
Ah.
It's really good.
Is it?
I loved it. I loved it.
Do they show the actual Gilbert? Because Gilbert is so different
from
who he
plays. Yes, that's why it's so great, because you get
and most people never get to...
You get real Gilbert.
Okay.
He's so weird. He He's so weird.
He's such a sweetheart, though.
I've met him before. He's a delightful little man, and he is a peculiar,
it's strange, shocking when you meet him and he's not, man. He doesn't have a microphone or a camera in front of his face, and he's just being himself. It's like, holy shit.
If you guys want to watch this week, it is streaming for subscribers of Hulu and Hoopla, which I didn't know was a thing. But if you're a subscriber of one of those, you can watch this. Otherwise, you got to rent it for a few bucks on anywhere, everywhere. But yeah, Gilbert, very good. Right. Hope you like it.
This week you're gambling on the aforementioned The Predator.
Anderson, you must know something about this movie. You've been talking about it.
Shane Black.
Okay.
Predator. Pedophile.
Will you be seeing this?
Not Shane Black being a pedophile.
Will you be seeing this?
I had a long, convoluted, whimsical story about my take on this movie and where I landed. I can see how you maybe tapped out of that story. But I after Greg Srivastava suggested,
said he was taking a paycheck.
Yes, that's when I tapped out.
I am drawing blind on this movie. You have discussed it at some length with other people who know things about it.
Mm-hmm. Let me look it up real quick. No, I really don't know. I promise you.
Oh, what's your number?
61.
Oh, 44. Am I gone too low?
Well, currently the week before its release with 52 reviews, the Rotten Tomatoes score for The Predator is at 40%.
Ooh, bold.
I got to start cheating.
Fortune favors the bold. You're going to love Gilbert. We're going to talk about it next week. I'm going to flick fast it too. It's going to be great.
Gilbert.
He's such released? A peculiar little man.
How long
was
this?
In theaters. Yeah? I think it was in theaters.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't think it was.
I watched it on my, I watched
it. Did
it
come out
home.
In the last year?
I believe. Hold on, look right now. It is a 2017.
It's Nobels, and I read about every single movie that gets released.
Ah, you're gonna love it.
Yeah, am I?
Am I? He's so peculiar.
All right, cool. Maybe I can get the wife to watch this one with me.
Oh, she's not. He's a sweet. Well, you know him. He comes across as a very sweet man.
It is. It really is a persona that he has created that he sticks to and that he tweets through and every time he's on stage.
That's a really old school thing too.
Yeah, different person.
Like the Dangerfield. Like someone has that persona they stick to all the time.
But then you get in a weird spot when you're in Vegas at the craps table. What do you do? Do you be yourself or you got to be on?
Oh, you're going to love it. Thanks to Dallas Terry for this week's listener art.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Duran Mode. Tight.
Is that based on the song that we all know from Depeche Mode? It's no good.
Is that picture on the internet of me? From my modeling fucking days?
Jesus. Look at little Andy Cohen.
How did that... That must be
Where did they find that?
I think Tyler took a picture my 40th birthday or something of a bunch of pictures that Jillian put together in a collage, and I think maybe she grabbed it off that.
Well done, Dallas Terry is the artist... And speaking of artists...
Dallas is probably a guy.
Probably.
I don't know why I assumed it was a girl.
If you want to be a feature artist, such as Vega Nova, Fabrizio and the Fever, Phil Neal and the Warnalls, the Mayberry Shift, Scissors Cut Your Paper, and the Shakers, if you want to be like them and have your songs heard by thousands of people, go ahead and send them on in to andersonandbrian.com or any contact at Twitter, Facebook, The Film Vault on both. Check out our Patreon, you guys. We come out with a new episode every month in addition to us. And, we're going to have a lot more spoiler talk coming up here in the fall. There's not really
big
movies coming
it's
out.
It's really going to be on a popping.
Perhaps spoiler talk on The Predator, sitting at 40%.
Negative. Jesus, I got to start cheating. I really do.
You would have thought it would be 61%?
Shane Black.
Yeah. Thanks for clicking through the Amazon banner. We appreciate it. Keeps the show going.
You know what? You can almost predict the percentage with how much advertising there is. The more advertising, the lower the rate.
I'm afraid for Night School.
Why would you be afraid for that movie?
Because it's had a lot of advertising.
Yeah. When does that come out?
Soon, right?
Why would you pay attention to that movie? I don't care.
Logan.
It's going to be 33%.
Can't stand Kevin Hart.
Is that your official guess?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're done.
Philadelphia. See you soon.
What's the date again? October
13th. My anniversary. Fucking wedding
anniversary. Happy anniversary.
I'll be in Philly showing my movie. I'm excited though because I've heard nothing but great things about Philly people and all the people in the surrounding areas. Hey, you know what?
What's that?
Widow for Van Gogh.